excited that you're joining us today. Like I always say, I mean it. We have a jam-packed program coming your way. Top of the hour, of the first hour of the program, is going to be a good one. Tons of breaking news. So many things you probably didn't see because the corporate media is not going to tell you about it, but we'll talk about it on this program. But we're going to be joined later today by Alex Jones. He's joining us in studio to bring us the very latest regarding the DOJ going after those who sought to take over InfoWars. It's an outrageous story, but thankfully we have Ed Martin who is leading that case. And so Alex is going to join us to break down the very latest. But we're learning about a shooting outside of an ICE facility in Dallas, Texas. I'm going to bring you all the information in just a few moments, but we've just heard from the DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, who's confirming there's multiple fatalities and injuries, and we're waiting to see more come of this. We are also learning that the individual who they believe was the sniper has shot themselves, so we're going to continue to watch that as it unravels. I'll bring you the very latest in just a few moments on that front. But there's a lot going on all around the country that we're going to be diving into. We're going to talk a little bit about Peter Strzok later today as well. There's some very big news that we could celebrate in regards to one of his many cases that he's filed, the lawsuits. So we're going to talk about that in a few moments as well. Plus, you may have seen it, Ryan Ruth was just convicted on all charges. The verdict was handed down in a Florida courtroom late yesterday. Ken Silva has been following the case, and he's going to join us in the first hour of the program. Also, Antifa not backing down after President Trump designated them as a terrorist organization. You may have seen it also online. They are still going after federal buildings. And it's really not surprising. They're not going to back down anytime soon, even though the President of the United States is now calling them a terrorist organization. They're not stopping. So we'll have the very latest on that front, too. Plus, Wid Lyman is joining the show. Wid is, he's been in the press briefings in front of the White House now, doing some great reporting. He's normally with Border Hawk. And so, it's been very fascinating to see Wid get to the front of the line now and be able to speak and ask questions directly to the press secretary. He just did that on Monday and he's joining our program to detail what he's learning. So we're excited to have him in the program. And, Mel Kay joining the show as well today because you may have seen it. President Trump gave a very important speech yesterday at the UN, even though they tried to stop it. But he did an incredible job. And he also called out the mass migration that the globalists have been trying to inflict on the rest of us for many, many years now. But he's calling out specifically in both London and throughout Europe. I mean, he's literally reading down the numbers of how many foreigners are in prisons throughout these countries. It's outrageous, but not surprising because, again, folks, we've talked about it on this show. Switzerland has completely been destroyed by mass migration. President Trump calling that out specifically, saying you guys have 72% of your inmates are foreigners. I mean, just think about that. 72% of the inmates in Switzerland are foreigners, according to President Trump. He's taking the fight straight to the globalists, and he's not afraid to do just that. So we're going to talk about that with Mel Kay. So we're very excited that you guys are all joining us today. Big, big program lined up for you. Also, you may have not realized it too. There was other stories that were breaking yesterday that they always seem to get buried. Speaking of buried, John Bolton trying to bury classified documents in his office, allegedly. Well, guess who found them? The FBI. I'll bring you the latest on the classified documents case as well because it's fascinating because John Bolton doesn't want you knowing that, yeah, all the accusations over the years that he was facing in regards to being the one who allegedly was taking classified documents home with him, well, apparently he had them in his office. That story dropped late yesterday evening, and I don't think many people knew it. I don't think many people saw it. So I'll detail the latest on that front, too, because, again, while John Bolton will sit there and pretend like he is just the victim of lawfare, the reality is he's actually an individual who should be getting looked into. One of the many criminals from the deep state hacks. So we got a jam-packed program heading your way. Big news to celebrate too as well. Don't go anywhere. I've got a lot to unpack for you in just a few moments.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We're very excited that you are all here and joining us today. There's a lot we're going to dive into today. When I say it, I know I always say we have a jam-packed program, but I mean that literally today because we have a great lineup of guests coming your way in just a few moments. Even Alex Jones is going to be joining us in studio to bring us the very latest because the DOJ is actually going after the individuals who went after him, who went after InfoWars. And so we have the very latest on that. Thanks to the great work that Mr. Ed Martin is doing over at the Weaponization Division right now. So we'll bring you the latest on that front. We're also going to be bringing you the very latest in regards to Ryan Roth, who was just recently convicted on all charges. And interesting enough, folks, there was these reports that from inside the courtroom, unfortunately, you don't get it televised, but from inside the courtroom, that once the verdict was read, he tried to actually stab himself. Ken Silva is going to be giving us the very latest on that front because all we have is this really strange illustration. We don't know all the details, but Ken's been following the case, and so he'll be joining us to break that down. But I wanted to take things over to Dallas because there's breaking news out of Dallas that's very important that we focus on right now. According to several local news reports, there were multiple individuals who were shot at early this morning. Now, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem just confirming that in a tweet moments ago, saying that outside of a Dallas ICE detention facility, that there were several individuals, multiple fatalities of people being shot at. Now, they believe it was a sniper. Upon finding that sniper, they say that this individual is now deceased by a self-inflicted gunshot wound, confirming local news reports. We do not know 100%, though, whether this was ICE agents who were shot at or whether this was detainees. Now, a local news reporter is claiming, according to her sources, that these were detainees that were shot at. But again, we don't have that confirmation as of right now. Keep in mind, folks, given the current political climate, everyone is deeply concerned about this, whether these ICE agents were the ones that were the targets, obviously. That's concerning, but we don't know all the facts. The shooting happening just about an hour ago. So again, more starting to come out. Again, the shooter is now dead. They're believing it's only one shooter, but earlier the reports of possibly multiple shooters. So if you live in the Dallas area, just stay away from this area right now. The police presence is complete insanity. It is shutting down the highway. You're not going to want to head on over there. But folks, it looks like, according to the reports, multiple fatalities, multiple injuries. Local news reporters are saying that there's 3 people that were injured. But as of right now, DHS saying multiple. So again, we're going to learn more about this. I know with Lyman, the main reporter over at Border Hawk has also been following this. So he's going to be joining us with an update later on in the show. But we're keeping our eye on this. We'll bring you the very latest if we see any press briefings going on. And we'll bring that straight to you. Folks, a lot happening this morning. I feel like right before we go to air, everything happens in the morning. But that is great for us, given the fact that there's so much to unpack. A lot of things that the mainstream media, again, isn't going to tell you about. You may have missed it, but just a couple of hours ago, we learned that John Bolton actually did have classified documents in his office. Now, this is according to several reports saying that the FBI agents found classified documents at the office of the former national security advisor, John Bolton. And that was in Washington, D.C. The court filings show that this happened. Well, they found it during the raid. The filings show that the documents included materials about weapons of mass destruction, the U.S. mission for the U.N., and strategic communication documents. So again, John Bolton has been accused of a lot over the years. If you recall, too, he wrote that book where he was actually dragged through court, and a judge actually was like, you are going down a very thin line in regards to what he was disclosing in his book and what he shouldn't be allowed to disclose. So the judge obviously reprimanding him for that. And a lot of people were saying, it sounds like John Bolton has these classified documents in his possession. Now, the rebuttal on that was, I believe, always a decline. They never wanted to quickly or even address those accusations. So again, the FBI's inventory list does list confidential and some pages labeled as secret. And that's what was found in John Bolton's office, apparently. So what was John Bolton doing with these documents? Again, the court filings show materials of weapons of mass destruction. That's what he was holding on to. It makes you really think, right? Why would this individual keep those documents in his office, especially if they're classified? We're going to keep following this. Again, not many people want to go through all of this and continue to report on it. Because right now, John Bolton is under investigation for espionage. And they're looking for evidence, obviously, of mishandling of national defense information. And keeping classified information without authorization. So was he authorized to take those documents home? Well, we're going to keep waiting. I mean, again, if he wasn't, I'm sure that would have led to an automatic arrest once they found it. And if you recall Trump's first term, Bolton was sued again for the book after leaving the White House that detailed things that the judge said, that's really kind of criminal. You're crossing a line here, potentially. So interesting enough, folks, we have that. But we've got some good news. A federal judge has just dismissed a lawsuit brought on by FBI agent Peter Strzok, who claimed his 2018 firing was illegal and violated his free speech and privacy rights. Huh. So that lawsuit dismissed. He brought that lawsuit on, which is strange given the fact that he did actually settle previously as well, if you recall, the FBI giving him and his side chick, what was it, a $2 million settlement? The FBI fired Strzok after discovering text messages with lawyer Lisa Page, with whom he was having an affair with. Now, those text messages, obviously, and this is how the media referred to it, showed some bias for President Trump. Now, the judge who actually dismissed the lawsuit, if you want hope, here it is an Obama-appointed judge. She ruled that Strzok couldn't prove his rights were violated, though she didn't comment on whether or not the firing was justified. So if you're looking for hope, it looks like potentially things are turning for the better. Finally, judges are throwing out these ridiculous lawsuits. If you remember, too, the reason why they're so upset about these text messages coming out is they were given to Congress. I mean, the level of corruption here. The fact that he didn't think that he would likely go to prison for any of this, too. He should be thankful that he didn't go to prison for this. I mean, I'm hoping this is one of the many cases that's being looked into by our new DOJ. But the facts are, this guy has some cojones when it comes to looking for a payout, again, after being paid out, looking for another payout, and being so bold to do so. When what you did was not only corrupt, but it was ridiculous that you sit here and you think that it's acceptable that you commit an act of treason like he did. And if any of you guys have ex, I think it's so, this is how deranged this man is. Obviously very deranged in these videos, but he's so deranged where if you're just a conservative, and I've never tweeted at him, he will block you. He blocks all conservatives because he doesn't want to see what you have to say. That man is deranged. He is very, very deranged. But they're losing this war, right? We know all these people who had their knives out for President Trump, they're losing this war. And it wasn't just President Trump. It's everything that our movement represents. You know, yesterday, President Trump made his way to the UN. And the videos were great, right? We love the sound bites. Alex did a great job on his show breaking down the sound bites of President Trump calling out all the globalists. But President Trump almost didn't make it to that speech. And I'm being very sarcastic. If you take a look at the video, him and Melania arrived yesterday at the UN. And we saw it, but we didn't know what was actually going on. They arrive at the UN, and all of a sudden, the escalator stops working. Now, there was a lot of reports prior to all of this that UN staffers were going to try to do things to the president so that they were just going to try to do things to him. I don't even know how to describe it. They were just trying to stop him from speaking at the UN. And look how classy Melania is. She's like, you won't stop us. We're going to walk up these stairs. But you're telling me the moment that they step onto the stairs, all of a sudden it stops. That one escalator. Oh, it's broken? And then he gets up to give his speech and the teleprompter's not working. And then if you were watching our show yesterday, because we were carrying it, remember that mix up in the feed, the audio? I thought it was one of our lovely employees here talking Russian or Ukrainian to me, but apparently this was happening all across the wires. Reuters, we were watching C-SPAN yesterday. They all had the same issues with the audio where the interpreters were speaking over President Trump. And then there were other reports of other individuals trying to make sure that nobody could hear him. Yesterday, the White House press secretary spoke out about the issue. Let's take a listen.
It does appear to be sabotage with the escalator and the teleprompter. What is the White House going to do about that?
Well, Jesse, that's definitely what it appears to be to me. And that's why I put out a statement earlier. Well, there was some concerning reporting over the weekend from the London Times, as you pointed out, that UN globalist staffers were basically plotting to set up the president of the United States. And first it was the escalator, then it was the teleprompter, and then Katie Pavlich from Town Hall, who we offered a seat in the press pool to cover the president's historic speech today, noticed that the audio inside of the room was much lower and different for the president of the United States than the previous speaker. So when you put all of this together, it doesn't look like a coincidence to me. And I know that we have people, including the United States Secret Service, who are looking into this to try to get to the bottom of it. And if we find that these were UN staffers who were purposefully trying to trip up, literally trip up, the president and the first lady of the United States, well, there better be accountability for those people.
Yeah, accountability is simple to call for. You know, it's pretty laughable that they thought they were going to get away with this. And I know, Matt, you are producer for the show, for the American Journal, in case you guys don't know. He's got some comments on this issue. He's very excited about this one.
Well, it's just refreshing to have a president that can walk up the steps for once.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And he does it so gracefully. And Melania Trump just crushing in those heels. I know this probably isn't for your base, the InfoWars base. But I love her outfits, and I love the way she was able to strut up there and didn't give a damn. Didn't give a damn. She doesn't care. And I saw the comments, too, which was so funny. I saw the comments on social media. People were, they were loving it, but they were also, there's this meme going around saying, oh, you thought you were just going to shut off my husband's teleprompter and you were going to mess him up? Well, now you get a one-hour rant about the globalists. Joke's on you, fools. I love these guys, man. This is my favorite administration. It really is. Because time and time again, President Trump is getting all of these people coming after him. And then he gets up there and he jokes about it. He tells them all the staffers who have done what they did to him, because obviously it's intentional, folks. They're going to say it's not. But President Trump gets up there and he goes, whoever is running those escalators, you're in trouble. The teleprompter, you're in trouble. Whoever's running the audio yesterday, they should be in trouble too. But again, they keep swinging, but they never land. They never land. Speaking about landing, though, you know, we had some unfortunate news to bring you, and that is that Jimmy Kimmel is making his way back onto, I guess, the cable world, if you're watching. There's many of these affiliates who are no longer going to be carrying his show, but he did make his appearance yesterday back on the airwaves of ABC. Again, not all the affiliates covering it, but... You know, Jimmy Kimmel did open up with a very emotional opening, and we figured we'd let you take a listen.
A lot about what I need to say and do tonight. And the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it. I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make, but I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way. I have many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. It ever. And also, selfishly, I am a person who gets a lot of threats. I get many ugly and scary threats against my life, my wife, my kids, my coworkers, because of what I choose to say. And I know those threats don't come from the kind of people on the right who I know and love. So that's what I wanted to say on that subject. But
All right. Do we give him a pass? Yeah. I don't know. All right. He probably wouldn't have given us a pass, right? Like, he probably would have just told us that we all should be canceled. I mean, he cheerleads for it all the time. He never gave Tucker Carlson a pass. Were you buying the fake emotional tears, though? The crocodile tears? I don't know. It's never flattering to see a man cry on TV. Never is. Speaking of crying, though, Jake Tapper continues to go out there and talk about how canceling Jimmy Kimmel was the federal government infringing. No, seriously, this is the argument they are trying to make in clip three.
All right, Jimmy Kimmel, he's a friend of both of ours.
Yeah.
You know him, I know him. We know he's a good person. Obviously, this news is very exciting. But what was your original take on how this all went down starting last week?
I mean, I thought it was pretty much the most direct infringement by the government on free speech that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Networks are allowed to cancel shows. It happens all the time. But this was the FCC chairman saying, local affiliates, it's time for you to say you're not going to air Kimmel anymore. And then Nexstar, which was the largest owner of local affiliates, needs approval from Brendan Carr himself to let this merger go through. Yes, sir. How high do you want me to jump, sir? They do it. And it's just insane.
You know, it's so funny. It's so funny how now they are so critical of the government stepping in. You know, we've covered it on this show several times, even yesterday, talking about how the government, the Biden regime, stepped in and told and for social media companies to censor those who were putting up COVID information that debunked all of whatever they were saying. But interesting enough, I don't think Jake Tapper spoke out on a very, very important issue. That issue being when Democrats decided to go after OAN and Newsmax. Democrats came together and they actually wrote a letter and sent it off to all these cable news networks. Now, that letter was literally asking them to reconsider keeping them on air. And it also included Fox News. Now, again, you don't have to be a cheerleader for corporate media. But when Democrats collude to get networks they disagree with pulled off the air, and this, I believe, was right after January 6th. That's a major issue. And as many of you guys know, obviously, Fox still on air, still being carried because it's a massive network. But OAN shortly after got the boot from a lot of these cable companies. And they've been fighting. They've been clawing their way back. I believe they're back on YouTube now. But the reality of it is Jake Tapper never called it out when Democrats came together to make sure that conservative media outlets were shunned. So-called conservative media outlets. To them, they're conservative. But again, Jake Tapper coming out now, all of a sudden, he's concerned. See, this is the problem, right? I say I'm pretty fair and balanced on these issues. Whenever I see censorship, especially when it comes from the federal government, doesn't matter to me what side you're on, I call it out. But they only call it out when it's convenient. That's why you hear Jake Tapper now talking about these issues. But again, this has been ongoing. And he was silent on the issue. Folks, we talked about it. I'm not happy with Bill Gates making his way into the White House. And it's something that we are now seeing a lot of. We know that he's been very heavily involved, that he's at the White House quite often. No one voted for that. But he's addressing right now what he wants President Trump to do. He wants President Trump to invest just 1% of the U.S. budget in global public health. Now, he went on air and he tried to detail why this would be so critical for the president to do and how he's looking to persuade the president. Take a listen.
And I think for a lot of people in this country, they say we have so much things here that need to be repaired and fixed. Why do we spend money internationally? Can you just briefly say why it's important that we do what we do and how we do it?
Well, we get a lot for this 1%. You know, remember, it's just 1%. If you ask most people, they'd say, well, it must be 3 or 4%, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's 1% is what we're asking for, and that's what there's a potential they'll cut even below that. For that, we get the system that detects diseases. And so it would see a pandemic early and would stop it from coming here. You know, it's also hopefully in our moral values that lifting these countries up, helping them be healthy so they develop their own economy, so they develop stability, they're part of the world economy. We had Rick Warren at our event last night talking about the religious principles involved. He was talking with a Muslim leader about how all religions have this kind of golden rule. And, you know, we're saying, hey, 1%, that is a good thing. And in no way does that, you know, the other 99% is there for domestic use.
And I want to get back to this administration. You said at the beginning of Trump's second term that you were impressed with his interest in global health. You have spoken with him more recently. Have those conversations given you more optimism? Or are you still as confident in his interest in global health?
Are you still impressed?
Well, he spent quite a bit of time talking to me about these global health issues. And the demand on his time is, you know, near infinite with wars and tariffs and, you know, so many things going on. I don't know how it's going to come out in the end. I've talked to him about the principles involved and it's a modest amount of money. I've assured him that, you know, if we're engaged, we'll make sure that money's spent well. In fact, you know, we can save, you know, 10% or so pretty easily and still achieve our goals. But, you know, right now it's a political question, you know, when you say American first, can you still have the charity for that 1%?
No, those days are over, Bill Gates. In fact, the reason why President Trump was reelected again and again and again. Because, folks, we've had enough of this. We are not a charity. If Bill Gates wants to spend his fortunes on helping other countries, so be it. But taking our money and allocating all across the world, no thank you. No thank you. All right, we got a lot coming your way in just a few moments. Ken Silva joining the program to break down the very latest on Ryan Roof, convicted on all charges. Don't go anywhere. We've got the very latest coming your way in just a moment.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bok, quack, quack, kong, wherever it goes. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga bok, woom kong, kong. That'd be really good.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're with us, of course. I promised you a packed show today, and we're going to bring you just that. A lot going on all around the country. You know, at the top of the show, we brought to you breaking news. We've just got an update in regards to a shooting that took place outside of a Dallas ICE facility. The local news media is now reporting that two of the ICE detainees were killed and one individual was injured. We're told that there is no members of law enforcement that are injured. Again, folks, this was a possible sniper. Now, they believe that there could possibly be multiple snipers, but DHS Secretary Kristi Noem confirming that there was one individual found at the top. I believe she says that he was definitely a self-inflicted wound, but local media is reporting that he was found at the top of a roof. So again, we don't know if there's multiple people we're looking for here. We don't know if it's just that one individual who took his own life. But again, this is ongoing. We're bringing you the latest as things keep turning over. We see the local news reports coming out of Dallas right now. So we'll bring you the very latest on that front. But speaking about the very latest, you know, yesterday there was some shocking news that dropped, and many in the Trump administration are celebrating it. Ken Silva is going to be joining us in just a second. I'm just going to bring you the very latest in regards to Ryan Ruth, who is convicted on all counts, facing life in prison now. Well, after he learned that the jury turned in this guilty verdict, He actually tried to stab himself in the neck with a pen. Please welcome to the show Ken Silva. He is the editor over at Headline USA, and he has been following this case from the very beginning. We've been bringing you the latest, having him on all the time to talk about this court case. And it, you know, shifted so quickly to the jury, Ken. I mean, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't realize we were at the jury phase of all of this. But the last time you and I spoke earlier this week, you said things pretty much were going very quickly and we were likely going to get a verdict. I mean, I don't even understand how it happened this fast. But break down everything that happened yesterday afternoon in the courtroom.
Yeah, sure. So I expected this case to go pretty poorly for Ruth, but not even I could imagine, you know, just how badly it went. I'll give a quick highlights of the quick 3-week trial. This was supposed to last until, I think, like October 15th. But, from the jump, it was clear that Ruth just didn't have the capacity to defend himself. I mean, in the opening statements, he was given 45 minutes. And in the first 5 minutes, he starts going off in a tangent about Gaza and Hitler. Judge Cannon interrupts him, takes the jury out, and scolds him, says, like, you have to stick to the facts of the case. The jury comes back, and he immediately goes on his rant again. And then Cannon says, okay, that's it. You're done. You don't get an opening statement. The FBI, the DOJ breeze through the evidence through the next 3 weeks. At one point, the Secret Service agent who spotted him in the bushes hiding to try to kill Trump testified. Ruth's only cross-examination of him was like, oh, well, did I actually harm you? Did I actually shoot? And the agent goes, no, but you were pointing a gun at me, dude. Clearly he wasn't equipped. His defense was Monday. He called 3 witnesses. One was an expert witness who testified about his firearm. Of course, we know the FBI did disassemble it. It kind of tampered with the evidence, but when his expert tested it, it fired once, it jammed twice. But of course, as we know from Charlie Kirk, one shot is all you need. So that didn't really do him any favors. Another witness was an old friend named Marshall Hinshaw. And I was looking through my notes before I went on with you. Marshall testified that, Ryan Ruth's a good guy. But Marshall was a criminal associate in 2010. He would go to construction sites and steal stuff and give it to Ruth to sell. So I don't know if the DOJ even mentioned that in cross-examination, but, clearly Ryan's grasping here. Another one was his kid's friend named Atwell Mason, who testified, well, I liked Ryan growing up. He's my friend's dad, but I haven't seen him in like 6 years since he moved to Hawaii. Ruth declined to testify on his behalf. And again, in his kind of closing arguments, he said, well, I never shot the gun. But that's not a defense. I mean, we have terrorists like the Muslim terrorists all the time. They get set up by FBI agents to, try to blow up a building, and the FBI agents give them inert pipe bombs. So those, they don't explode, but like, that's not a defense. They still get convicted. So yeah, the jury went to deliberations yesterday around lunchtime. It didn't even take 2 hours for them to find a guilty verdict. And yeah, we had the drama there. We tried to stab himself in the neck. I think if he had lawyers, he would have had a little bit of a chance. And we did have several missteps by the prosecution, but I don't think Ruth capitalized on them. For instance, the witness who saw Ruth fleeing the scene after he almost took a shot at Trump initially identified him. He said, it was a blonde man. He looked to be in his 20s. And he said, he threw something in his sunroof of the Xterra when the Xterra didn't have a sunroof. Of course, that wouldn't have been enough probably to get an acquittal. But who knows if you could inject some sort of reasonable doubt in the jury. Another thing is, I guess the FBI found a footprint at the scene by Ruth's car that didn't match his. So, this might sound tenuous, but it sure would have been a better case than what Ruth presented, but, alas, we'll never know at this point.
Key point in all of this, it's so insane to see what has unraveled during all of this. Ken, we've talked about it. I know we text back and forth about it. We laugh about it. But, I mean, he really wanted to call witnesses to the stands that were like an ex-lover. And I think I'll let you tell the story on that front, because I was just telling a friend, I'm like, this one's creepy. But Ken, tell us about that one for a second.
Yeah, so he initially had like 20 witnesses that he wanted to call. A number of them were like professors who he didn't even know. I think he wanted to like call some people from NYU who would testify about how Trump is a threat to democracy. Of course, the DOJ objected to that, and Judge Cannon, you know, reasonably ruled that like, no, this has nothing to do with the case. And yeah, one of the more comical ones is that he wanted to call an ex-lover to testify, who would have attested to him being peaceful in bed. Apparently the ex-lover wanted him to spank her, and Ruth said, no spanking, I'm a peaceful man. So, you know, it's pretty humorous, but again, I'll remind people, this is not a good guy. I mean, this whole incident led to a 5-year-old girl being crippled for life, because after he fled, cops eventually pulled him over on the I-95, and it backed up traffic immediately, and this poor lady plowed into the traffic jam, and her girl was in the back seat. She almost died, and she's severely mentally handicapped now. Mm-hmm. And along with the tragedy of that, that brings me to another point, that the state of Florida has filed attempted murder charges against Ruth because of that incident, the little girl that almost died. And this, I don't know if the conviction would stick. It might be tenuous to, you know, accuse Ruth of attempted murder because of a traffic jam, but it would be a good opportunity for Florida to shine more transparency on this case, having a state trial. I think if the Biden administration were still in power, that's probably what DeSantis would be pushing for. Unfortunately, now that the Trump administration, well, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, the Trump administration's in power, so I don't think Ruth is going to get a state trial, because the state has like dropped its lawsuit against the DOJ for withholding evidence. It seems like they're willing to, you know, let these federal charges stick, and that'll be it.
Yeah, well, he's expected to face up to life in prison, so I would imagine all of this would kind of save Florida taxpayers some money if they just drop the case against him completely once he's sentenced to life in prison, because I don't see that getting overturned either. And it was interesting to see outside of the courtroom yesterday when reporters tried confronting Ruth's daughter. She like had an outburst and just ran. She was somebody who I think truly did believe that he was going to be found not guilty. And the news obviously devastating to her. And it's also strange, Ken, and I know I mentioned it to you too, like the Trump administration, although we understand why the president would be celebrating, it was weird that the FBI, Kash Patel, was celebrating this, because again, like this was an arrest that was made under Joe Biden. It just gives me the sense that the administration, or I should say the FBI specifically, not everyone as a whole, but the FBI is looking for any win whenever they could get it, and they're just going to claim victory over it. Because again, the FBI wasn't the one, the new FBI wasn't the one who took in this man into custody. And so it's interesting to see them celebrating this, but it's one of the many things they celebrate that have me scratching my head, because they're taking credit for something else that they didn't do.
Well, yeah, and this case highlights the FBI's failures. I mean, remember, Ruth is a multiple time convicted felon, mm-hmm. and he had actually been on the FBI's radar since at least 2019, because in Hawaii, somebody gave the FBI a tip saying, hey, Ruth possesses firearms and he's a felon. He's not allowed to do that. And the FBI never followed up on that tip. So this whole thing could have been averted if they would have done their job in 2019. Moreover, in Ukraine, several people reported him to the FBI for his recruiting of potential terrorists to go fight in the proxy war against Russia, and FBI never followed up on those tips either. Finally, let's just point out the basic facts of what happened last September 15th. He's hiding in bushes. The Secret Service agent is the one who spotted him. He runs, a witness sees him, and then it's the local cops who the witness talked to. The local cops put out a bolo, and they pulled him over. The sheriffs did 45 minutes later. So the FBI had nothing to do with this. If anything, they almost jeopardized the case, because the witness who saw Ruth, the FBI showed the witness one picture of Ryan and said, hey, that's the guy, right? And so that's kind of like witness tampering. That's kind of suggestive. You don't have like a lineup of five people. You just present Ryan. And when he had lawyers, the lawyers were pointing this out, saying like, hey, he was they're leading the witness to implicate our client. It's something that if he might have had lawyers, good lawyers, the FBI almost collapsed this case.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other point, too. I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure he's going to try to appeal it because he does have that right. But I can't imagine how he's going to be able to go about doing that. And again, I mean, we are all scratching our heads wondering how he was able to stay. Well, how he was able to be mentally competent to stand trial, I thought it was quite strange. But like you've detailed previously on this program, he had two experts say he was able to stand trial. And so that's why we're here at this guilty verdict now. So very, very interesting. You know, these aren't the only stories you cover. You actually cover a bunch of stories, but you recently just covered a story about Elon Musk and his father. Now, we've heard these stories before, and I'm going to let you detail this one, too, because we've heard these stories about Elon Musk's father, and he's been very transparent that he did not have a good childhood. But we're learning more as to what that truly does mean. And you have the very latest up right now on HeadlineUSA.com. So break down your latest report on what you're learning from the New York Times.
Yeah, this was me just covering what the New York Times revealed yesterday. They published a bombshell investigation into Elon Musk's father, Errol's, child abuse, including disgusting allegations of sexual abuse. It's probably just like a hit job against Elon, but I do think it is in the public interest to report this, considering, you know, how powerful his family is. At one point, the father allegedly molested his 4-year-old stepdaughter. 10 years later, the same stepdaughter caught him in California sniffing her dirty underwear. And then the same stepdaughter fell into severe drug abuse and actually ended up having a kid with Errol. And this, a lot of people might be like, oh, this is New York Times, this is fake news. But Errol acknowledges this. He won't say how many kids he had with his stepdaughter, but we think it's at least two. So this is like a really just tragic and disgusting story, but it does sort of paint Elon into a good light because he's been supporting his step family all along the way. I think the stepdaughter even told the New York Times that she says, you know, Elon's always been there for me. The implications of this isn't clear, but it seems like Elon's just trying to hold his family together along with doing everything else in the business and politics world.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so disturbing when you learn all these details. But again, I mean, Elon's never spoken highly of his father. He's always told the American people that the public that he does not have a good childhood memory of his father, that his father was abusive. And so it's sad to see, but it's also really important to remind everyone on how much of a great person Elon Musk is for helping, you know, his step family out, because that is absolutely egregious what he's being accused of, what he's admitting to. But at least he's stepping up to the plate and he's going to help them out. I mean, it's so heartbreaking. I remember seeing a clip of Elon talking about his childhood and just like his face just turning cold. And it's just so sad. It's so sad to see. But at least he's trying to help out those who have also been abused, allegedly by this man. I want to turn to another topic, Ken, because this one you just recently gave us an update for on your website, HeadlineUSA.com. And this one's in regards to the Ukrainian refugee who was stabbed to death on that Charlotte train. Now, we're learning more about the suspect, obviously. More is coming out. We've heard the recordings. He does sound like he is schizophrenic. But what are you learning now?
Yeah, so this is a big one. The suspect has actually been ordered to be sent to a mental hospital to see if he's fit to stand trial. And I initially reported this, I think, late August before the footage had been released. It didn't get much attention until the footage kind of shocked the world. And I'm glad I have a chance to clarify this because a lot of people are under the impression, in fact, some giant Twitter accounts have said that, oh, this means if he's ruled unfit, they're just going to release him. And that's not the case. He'll be sent to a padded room for the rest of his life, even if he's deemed unfit. So I don't think this is something that, you know, the mob should get up in arms and like go down and do mob justice. I think that's like a lot of what people have been suggesting. But it does, you know, show to the failures of the criminal justice system. I mean, there's an argument that this guy should be executed. If he's mentally unwell, though, I think, you know, just lock him in a padded room. And that'll be that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the video, I think it's very clear when you're watching the video completely. I mean, he's, before he even attacks her, he's speaking to himself. he's clearly going through a mental breakdown, but he's has a history of schizophrenia. I mean, his sister came forward and said that she was also once assaulted by him as well. And the audio that was released sounds like he has no recollection. Well, he has recollection of doing what he did, but he thought it was crazy that you would just go out there and stab someone that wasn't really doing anything to you, that wasn't really speaking to you. And so, you know, we continue to follow all of this, but it does sound like, you know, it does sound like that, it does sound like that he's going to have a legitimate claim of all of that. So we'll continue to watch it as it unravels. It's just absolutely devastating to see. We are seeing though that there are some positive signs to this. I know the North Carolina legislators were looking to reform their bail reform laws. I did see that, I believe it was in their house just recently. They did pass legislation to kind of look over that and to correct some of those issues. But again, this is an ongoing issue. I'll let you have the final word before we say goodbye. But Ken, it's a ongoing issue with these blue states, these blue cities, where you see all of these criminals being released, whether it's the judges or whether it's the ending of cash bail. They're constantly being tossed to the side on all of this. What else can we do? Because, I mean, obviously North Carolina should correct this issue, but you cover this often. What else should we be doing?
Well, yeah, it's like they're trying to steer the Titanic now as it's already headed into the iceberg. You just brought up a good point about him assaulting his sister. And yeah, I guess we shouldn't just assume that, oh, this guy's schizophrenic, so just let him into a mental hospital. Don't give him a more harsh punishment, because it is weird. Like, all his victims are women. So clearly he's not just like one of those crazy people that attacks anybody, because funny enough, he's never like attacked a 300-pound man. So that does show that he at least has some intelligence to
I'll
know.
I'll go to the Hillary Clinton soundbite next. Oh, sorry.
He does have some intelligence to know that, well, this person is weaker, this person is vulnerable. So yeah, I wouldn't just say, oh, he's mentally ill, let him go. He's a criminal. He knows to prey on the vulnerable, even if he's all the marbles aren't there.
Yeah, yeah. It's true, Ken. It really is true. And it's infuriating. It's infuriating that we keep having these topics and these discussions on this front, because, again, these issues need to be handled. The fact that we don't offer mental health services to those who need it most, the proper mental health services, is infuriating. But we're hoping the president could fix all of that. And we'll see. It's the main focus of what they're saying these days. So we'll see how it unravels. Ken Silva, thank you for all that you do. We greatly appreciate your time as always. Everyone, head on over to his Twitter page. Give him a follow. That's JD_CatCashless. JD_Cashless. Give him a follow. He's got all the best stories that you guys are going to want to know about. I'm telling you, it's my favorite follow on X. Ken, thank you. Okay,
thanks,
folks,
again.
I want to shift things over right now to political violence, because, again, we talk about it all the time. We call it out. Everyone knows that the political violence these days is coming from the left, and a lot of them are refusing to discuss that. Hillary Clinton being one of those main individuals who is refusing to discuss that. Take a listen.
We have got to stop demonizing each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I think most of that right now in our country's history is coming, you know, from the right, coming from people who want to dominate. They want their point of view. Writing out slavery from history, that doesn't make it right. Go away. You know, we have got to stop with the finger pointing and the scapegoating.
Yeah, the finger pointing. Listen, this woman has intentionally divided the country with her rhetoric over the years. She's intentionally called for violence. And although she denies that, of course, she wants to play stupid. The reality is everything you see unraveling today is because of the words that she's decided to continuously use. She and members of her party continue to refer to President Trump as a dictator, also use the word Nazi constantly to refer to him and others. And so when we're talking about this hatred in this country that has now ballooned into what you're seeing unravel today, she is one of the main individuals that's behind it. You see, here's the thing, right? Obviously, there's individuals on both sides who are radical, but there's only one side continuously shooting the bullets, throwing the punches, coming after us. And it's us on the left. So although Hillary Clinton wants to sit back and pretend like everything you see is not really happening, folks, I'm here to tell you it is happening. The rest of us all know what's going on here. They have intentionally told you and everyone else that no. This is not a left-wing problem. It is, though, of course. You see, when you continuously tell those that are mentally unwell within your group of people, your group of followers, that the right is full of Nazis, fascists, then they have a reason to come after us. And they won't even stop. I mean, we just saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And they haven't even calmed down their rhetoric. They're, in fact, amplifying it, amping it up. Because they're hoping more are going to carry out what you just recently saw. And it's awful. But again, they're full of evil. I want to turn to a next story, because this story is really, really important. This one is the fight for free speech. Douglas Mackey is finally claiming victory. Now, as many of you guys know, Douglas Mackey is the memer, the individual who went after or went out there and posted a Hillary Clinton meme, which is obviously a joke, in the 2016 election, telling folks to vote for Hillary via text. Now, obviously, it was a joke. It wasn't meant to be taken seriously. But the Biden regime went after him and, in fact, launched a complete lawfare attack on him. Now, with the change in administration, after being found guilty in a very liberal courtroom, Mackey said, I don't want a pardon. I don't want the president to cut me any favors. I want to fight this to the very end. And so he did. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars later, guess what happened? Mackey won. He won his appeal. And now he is a free man, not going to federal prison for posting a meme. He celebrated yesterday posting that. So everything is official now. The fact that the regime went after him, wanted to throw him in prison. In fact, just because he posted the meme online, they somehow were able to do some type of legal jiu-jitsu. Can't even speak. Where they were able to somehow pin these charges on him and get him into a New York City courtroom. Because they knew if they got a room full of liberals, they would get an easy conviction. Again, egregious. But expected by our enemies, of course. These are the many attacks, the many layers of attacks that they continue to do. Douglas Mackey is a First Amendment warrior. He didn't take the easy way out. He wanted to make sure that you could post memes freely and the government won't go after you. He has just now forcefully set precedence so that, let's say, the next administration comes in and it happens to be a Democrat. And you post something online they don't like. Well, now you got precedence. So we're very excited about that, folks. Douglas Mackey, First Amendment warrior. Folks, we got a lot going on for the rest of the program. Do not go anywhere. Trevor Loudon is coming up to us next, the very latest on Antifa.
For over a century, methylene blue has been more than just a dye. It's been a medical breakthrough. From restoring oxygen in the blood to protecting cells from stress, this powerful compound is being studied for brain health, focus, and energy. Safe, trusted, and backed by science, Methylene Blue continues to light the way for modern wellness. Discover the boldest shade in science at thealexjonesstore.com.
Taking down the satanic globalist new world order!
Your body faces new challenges in a bioengineered world. That's why Alex Jones brings you Ultimate Life Force, a triple-action spike protein detox designed to help clear harmful toxins, support your cellular defenses, and restore full body recovery. Packed with powerful ingredients, Ultimate Life Force is formulated for strength, resilience, and renewal. Detox. defend, recover. Take control of your health with Alex Jones's Ultimate Life Force.
Blessed is the man that had not walked in the counsel of the ungodly.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal, the second hour of the program. We're excited that you are all here and joining us today. A lot going on around the world. As we've been breaking, we've been giving you the updates throughout the day. There was a shooting in Dallas, outside of an ICE facility in Dallas. We're still following it. We're waiting to see if there's any press updates that are coming out. But as far as the local news reports, we're learning, according to the local news, that two individuals were killed. We're also learning there was one individual who is now injured right now. We don't know the specifics on their condition. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem coming out and confirming that there were multiple fatalities and injuries. Not telling us the specifics, though. According to local reports, again, they're saying that there are no law enforcement agents who have been injured in all of this. So we're learning more. We're also learning this was allegedly a sniper. Now, that individual apparently took their own life. But again, there were several reports saying there might be multiple shooters. So this story is unraveling. It just took place about 2 hours ago. So we're learning more and more and more. So we'll keep bringing it to you as we get updates. But folks, it just seems endless, this violence. And so your gut reaction is when you see a report like this was, gosh, I hope that there were no members of law enforcement injured in this. But local news saying that it doesn't appear to be that way. It appears to be detainees. Apparently there was a bus. They were coming off the bus. So we'll continue to update that as it unravels. But we talk about it all the time. The violence going on throughout this country. It's something that we all have to address. You know, when we go through the DHS reports, I've pulled up the data and I know they send it out all the time, but violence against ICE agents is up like 1,000% over these last few months. And it's because the left is ignited right now. And very few will call it out, of course. Mainstream media won't. You can't count on them. But the rest of us have been following it. The White House is following it. You know, Trevor Loudon's going to be joining us in just a few moments. And Trevor's kind of been sifting through and going through the history of Antifa. And he's been covering this for a very long time now. He's going to walk us through all of this. But President Trump now designating Antifa as a terrorist organization is critical. But again, that's executive order. New administration comes in, they could wipe that out. Antifa going outside of facilities still to this day, even getting designated as a terrorist organization and still committing acts of violence. One incident in Oregon that we're going to be talking about later on with Trevor Loudon. But again, this shouldn't be happening. What took so long? You know, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has been in this fight, calling out Antifa constantly, trying her best to get legislation passed that would designate them as a terrorist organization. And it just keeps getting ignored. So again, it is infuriating that this is continuously happening. But President Trump coming out and says, we're going to track the money. We're going to follow the money. We're going to figure out where all this lies to. Who's funding these people? Obviously, the easy answer for most is George Soros, but it's not just him. The White House now launching multiple investigations into these far left groups. We're excited about it, yes. But what's really going to come of it? Because we constantly see investigation after investigation and it leads to nothing. So we'll keep covering that. I know Trevor Loudon has a lot to sound off on. You know, Trevor Loudon is the self-proclaimed commie hunter. And so all things communist, he knows it. And so we've got a lot of questions for him on that front. So we're looking forward to him joining us in just a few moments. Also, towards the end of the show, we're going to be taking calls from all of you at home. So that's going to be in the third hour. So make sure you tune in because you might be on the show if you give us a call. A lot happening, a lot to unpack. We're excited that you guys are joining us. Don't go anywhere. There's more American Journal on the way.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, LexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
For joining us. A lot to unpack, especially, you know, we tried to do it in the first hour, but there's just so much political violence coming from the left that we just need to continue to cover it, continue to expose it. Because again, not many will do it. As you may know, the corporate media is ignoring all of this. They're in fact saying that Antifa is an idea, it's not an actual group. And they're not happy that President Trump has now designated the group as a terrorist organization. No, they're not happy. In fact, a lot of them are making the argument that this tramples on the First Amendment. But again, there's free protests, obviously. You're allowed to protest. But there's a difference when you get violence. And we continuously see it all around the country. There's great reporting coming from Katie Davis Court right now. And she's done an incredible job at going out there and covering Antifa over the years. But she's recently released more footage. And it's very, very interesting to sit back and watch. So right now she's talking about how outside of the Oregon facilities, the federal buildings in Oregon, how they have been getting very violent. But federal agents aren't tolerating it, in fact. And they are pushing back. They are making arrests. Even the DOJ, Harmeet Dhillon, coming out and saying, you love to see it when you see federal agents making several arrests outside of that federal building. So again, folks, this is a real problem. This is still ongoing, even though President Donald Trump has designated them as a terrorist organization. You know, Katie Davis Court has done an incredible job at reporting on all of this. She's actually been attacked too several times by Antifa. They cannot tolerate the fact that she's out here putting out the truth, putting out the facts. They don't want her covering it. But folks, if it's real peaceful protest, then why do you hate it when journalists come around to broadcast it? Don't you want the world to hear your message? Well, that's not the case, unfortunately for Katie. She's one of many independent journalists who have been targeted by Antifa over the years. More well-known, Andy Ngo. We all remember when they threw a concrete shake at his head. And so it's great to see that President Trump is now signing this executive order to designate them as a terrorist organization. But again, this is long overdue. Joining me now to discuss is Trevor Loudon. He is the self-proclaimed commie hunter. He's also an author and a filmmaker. And he's my go-to source for everything regarding communism, Antifa, and how it's ending up here in the United States. So we're excited to have Trevor on the program today. Trevor, thank you for being here. It's been a very, very busy news cycle, obviously. And I know you've had a lot to unpack. But Antifa now is being designated as a terrorist organization thanks to an executive order by President Trump. Now, although we prefer it to be passed through as legislation, this at least puts a band-aid on the issue for now. Your reaction to President Trump's new executive order?
Well, I think it's a great start. He's recognizing that these groups and Antifa is, and I'll get more into that later. But look, it's a good start to go after the left, to use federal powers, because these groups are operating in blue states where they're acting as basically the military wing of the Democratic Party, protected by local DAs, sheriffs, etc. So this has to be federal. You cannot clean up Antifa from Oregon, you know, Portland, Oregon, or Los Angeles, or whatever. It has to be a federally directed thing. But Antifa is a sort of, it's a movement that overlaps with many of America's communist parties and communist and anarchist organizations. The original Antifa was set up by the German Communist Party in the 1930s to fight against the Nazis. Now, the Nazis went after Antifa, and Trump should go after Antifa here, but it's, you've got to understand, it's a wing of the communist movement. So you've actually got over the lead, you've got to get over the leaders. You've got to go to the actual communist movement, their Chinese friends, their Russian friends, their Iranian friends, their Palestinian friends, their Venezuelan friends, etc. So this is just, Antifa is the bottom of the heap. This has got to go much, much deeper than Antifa. This is like taking out the soldiers in a battlefield, but completely ignoring the generals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what we should be focused on right now. It's deeply concerning that we aren't focused on it, but I mean, that's something that I know Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congressman Andy Biggs, I mean, they want to focus federal resources on making this a terrorist organization first, but then going after them and trying to dismantle them and stop their influence here in the United States. But there's something that, you know, a lot of Republicans are up against, and it's not just violent protesters, obviously, or so-called protesters. It's also the media. They have completely denied Antifa's existence. You know, we have this clip that we're going to play for you. It's clip 7 in regards to Chuck Todd saying, Antifa's not a real thing, even though he's covered it in the past. Take a listen.
They're going to try to create a new classification for anybody on the left who opposes Trump as somehow a member of Antifa and a terrorist.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, this is coming. And I don't think we are fully... Now, I don't think there's any... The problem is, like, I don't even know what Antifa is. I know what the definition of Antifa is. And
you
I know
what the word means, but it's not correct. A group.
There is no group.
No.
Mark Bray, you are writing this book, Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook... explain this movement and its roots.
Mark Bray is a Dartmouth professor who has studied the Antifa anti-fascist movement. Antifa is a far-left political movement that argues it's necessary to confront hate groups, sometimes with force. Professor Bray is author of the new book, Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook.
Trevor, why do you think the corporate media is constantly denying that Antifa is an actual group?
Well, there you had the extreme left Mark Bray basically telling us that Antifa is not really a problem. Look, the mainstream, well, there you go, Keith Ellison, who is both a Marxist and a radical Islamist, with his Antifa, with the Anti-Fascist Handbook by Mark Bray. Look, we know the mainstream media in this country is controlled by the left. We know that Antifa are the shock troops of the left, are the military wing of the left-wing establishment and the Democratic Party in this country. They do the will of the left, and they have connections to foreign actors, you know, as I said before. So, look, the mainstream media, we got to understand, you know, back in the old days, when America was really America, most journalists were trained in the job. You know, they were trained on newspapers. They were like apprentices or cadets, and they'd go out and cover the county fairs. They'd go out and cover the baseball games. And they were normal Americans with normal American values, and the media reflected that. But after World War II, they set up all these journalism schools, and people went there on the GI Bill. And the journalism schools were influenced by people like Curtis McDougall, the Communist Party supporter who invented the concept of advocacy journalism. You don't report the news, you use the news to shape the left-wing agenda. And that is the dominant ethos in every journalism school in America now. 90% of American journalists identify as on the left, and most of the other 10% are so intimidated and scared to keep their jobs that they won't go after the left either. So it's only now with the Trump administration and the extremism of the left that is even being covered. I've been talking about the communist movement and its dangers in America for 15 years now. the Communist Party USA, Freedom Road Socialist Organization. There are about 30 American Communist Parties actively working in America. They were behind Black Lives Matter. They were behind the George Floyd riots. They were behind the burning of Ferguson, Missouri. They just keep on doing violent stuff, but you're not allowed to talk about them. Antifa is a very important part of this movement, but it's really the tip of the iceberg. And I applaud President Trump for directing federal resources against this movement, but I'm hoping he's willing to carry it on to its full consequences. This isn't just George Soros. This is China. This is Nicaragua. This is Venezuela. This is Cuba. This is Russia. This is a whole bunch of countries who are backing the radical left in this country to bring this country to its knees.
Yeah.
Their stated goal is to bring down President Trump by making the country ungovernable. We got to confront that reality.
Yeah, and that's something I think he's taking on now, especially after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I've heard the reports that the final discussion that he had with Charlie Kirk, the president, was about these going after these radical groups, and that was something that Charlie told him should be a top priority. And so we'll continue to follow that. But I kind of want to talk about the roots of Antifa a bit. Because as you've cited, I want to kind of get a deep dive into it, the European roots to all of this. Can you kind of detail how it even came about and how it ended up here in the United States?
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a history there. Okay, it started with the German Communist Party in the 1930s. Antifa were their shock troops. They would go out and fight on the streets. They were the thugs, and they would fight Hitler's black brown shirts. But after the Nazis won, a lot of the Antifa became Nazis. A lot of the communists became Nazis. They would call them beefsteak Nazis. Brown on the outside, red in the middle. So, you know, communism and fascism are two sides to the same coin, essentially. Now, Antifa came about again in Germany after the reunification of Germany in the early 90s. It mainly came out of the left-wing skinhead movement of East Germany. And so it was communist-sponsored, you know, so they call themselves a right-wing movement, but they had ties to the communists. And they started rioting through Europe, and often called the Black Bloc. And we saw, you know, they came to America in the late 90s. We saw a lot of them in the protests against the World Trade Organization in Seattle in 1999, when that city was basically shut down by communists, Black Bloc, etc. Now, those Black Bloc people, they're sort of amorphous bands of communists and anarchists who basically call anybody they don't like a fascist. They really came to America in the late 90s. And they're a little bit, you know, they've always been there. They've had various bases like Austin, Texas, and Portland, Oregon, two of the main ones. And they were there. They were latent. But when Trump came on the scene in 2016, 2015, 2016, they re-energized, because here was a president who actually stood up against communism, would use the C word, and that energized Antifa to really amp up. So, but Antifa was cross-pollinated with Democratic Socialists of America. Some chapters of Democratic Socialists of America became Antifa. You also had the growth under Trump of the John Brown gun clubs, you know, the armed queers of Salt Lake City, who are deeply connected to Cuba, for instance. And so you had this growth, you know, like Democratic Socialists of America went from 6,000 members before Trump to 92,000 members today. The Communist Party USA has exploded. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization has exploded. The Party of Socialism Liberation has exploded. And all of these groups cross-pollinate with Antifa. So Antifa is just the visible tip of the iceberg, the violent wing of the American communist movement, which is, you know, Antifa is 10% of it, but 90% of that is under Antifa, and they are all deeply connected to the foreign communist parties of China, Venezuela, Cuba, etc. So this is, Antifa is the tip of the communist iceberg.
Yeah, and it's important for folks to understand that. And speaking about all of this, I know you just broke down Democrats, Socialists for America, and all of these socialist groups here in the United States right now. Zohran Mamdani, I know you and I spoke about this the last time we were on air. This is a big one, and I don't know if everyone is aware of it, but we're watching as Democrats are coming out and endorsing him. Kamala Harris just yesterday, I believe, endorsing him and putting her support behind him. But Mamdani's a big threat because he's got a lot of roots to everything you just detailed.
Yeah. Look, he's a communist. You know, his parents were both Marxists, especially his father, a radical Marxist connected to the Maoist movement and even the North Koreans. And he's also Shia Islam, a member of the 12er sect of Shia Islam. He converted to that, and the 12er Shia are the people who rule Iran right now. And they believe that they can bring on the Day of Judgment and the worldwide rule of Islam and the return of the fabled 12th Imam by plunging the world into chaos. So, yeah, he's a double whammy. And you're going to see if he becomes the mayor of New York, he's going to become the sort of counter state to the American state. He's going to appoint all his communist friends to positions in the New York government. He's going to collapse the tax base. He's going to flood New York with Antifa, with jihadis, with communists. And it's going to become a center of the revolutionary movement. And it has to be, and so therefore it has to be dealt with federally. This is an actual threat to the American government. And of course it will spread, you know, it's already in places like Dearborn, Michigan, Paterson, New Jersey, you know, the proposed Epic City in Texas, this confluence of Antifa, the communist movement and the jihadis all working together. All basically wanting to bring down the great Satan, which they believe is America.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you've done an incredible job of covering it. I know Amy Meck over at the Rare Foundation also has done an incredible
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Digging into
Amy
that.
Amy has been a pioneer in this stuff.
I know. You know, I know.
Rare Foundation. Absolutely.
And I was not aware of what was going on in Texas until I started reading her work. And it's incredible when you're digging into all of this and you start seeing what's actually happening and how it's being allowed by local officials, how a lot of them are even endorsing it and giving its blessing. It's absurd, but again, this is what's going on in Texas. I think people think Texas is a red state. These things wouldn't happen, but they are happening. In fact, when you drive around, and Amy broke this story, when you drive around Epic, they've changed a lot of their street names to street names or to names of conquerors, Islamic conquerors. And so most Americans aren't awake to all of this. They've been kind of, you know, looking the other way on this front. This did gain national coverage, but this has been ongoing for years and years now. When it comes to the rise of socialism in this country, too, I think we need to start calling it out more. But it seems to be a younger generation who's kind of coddling this and cozying up to this, because these politicians like Mamdani, he seems like a very friendly person and he speaks well. So I guess young people feel like that this might be the answer to fixing their problems as to why they can't afford rent or why they can't find a job with their arts degree. How do we combat the messaging that's being used to target young people in this country?
Yeah, that's a very critical point. And that's why Charlie Kirk was such a massive threat to the left and really had to be taken out, you know, from their point of view, because he was the antidote. His message of faith, of commitment, of fatherhood, of freedom, of American values as being the answer. See, you know, like I read kids' school textbooks and they basically might as well be written by Karl Marx, most of them, even in the conservative districts. And that's why Trump's effort to dismantle the Department of Education is so important, because if we can turn education back to state level, local people can get control of it again, and Arkansas people can teach their kids Arkansas values and not California or New York values. So, look, getting rid of the Department of Education would be a great start. I would say also defunding a lot of the universities, repurposing them into trade schools, get more young people into trades so they're learning real skills, so they can have a future, so they don't get embittered and disappointment and easily seduced by the left. All of this, Charlie Kirk's message of faith, of freedom, the Constitution, of American values, has got to be amplified so much, but there's actually got to be structural changes. As I said, abolishing the Department of Education, getting rid of DEI, emphasizing the trades. Look, wouldn't it be great if 60% of American kids left high school and learned a trade rather than learning useless indoctrination skills in colleges and universities and getting embittered by their huge student debt? Wouldn't it be great if kids left school at 18 and they're fully qualified tradesmen or women by the age of 21 or 22, start their own business, buy their own house? You know, that's how we get America back, by giving the young people hope through trades, de-emphasizing the universities, an explosion of faith, returning to traditional American values, valuing young men, valuing fatherhood, getting the unions out of the, out of the elementary schools, out of the high schools that basically control the curriculums and indoctrinate the kids. There's a number of things that can happen. It's a change of attitude, but a lot of actual political changes and decentralization of power would help tremendously in turning the young folk around. We have to do that. You know, we're going to lose the country if we don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the trade school is a really big thing. I mean, it's a really big thing. I mean, I remember when I was in school.
Massive.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of made it seem like they kind of forced you to go to college. I mean, they didn't care what you were going to major in. They just wanted everyone to go to college. And that's what high school is preparing you for. But I mean, college isn't for everyone. You don't really need it in a lot of cases. I didn't need it for a journalism degree. And no one tells you that. No one tells you that.
No, look, it's a racket. You know, you've got, that's why Obama federalized student loans, because banks would lend to a student. You know, a bank will give you money if you're going to go to trade school and you want to start your own trucking business. They'll lend you some money to buy a truck. But a bank would not lend you money to go to do a four-year sociology degree in Berkeley, because they're not going to get their money back. So that's why Obama did that, to encourage, to make the universities much more powerful and move them even more to the left.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, seriously, you know, we're not, look, 60 or 70% of the kids doing apprenticeship or trades, do you think they'd all be going into joining Antifa if they had good jobs, if they had prospects, if they had a future, if they could get married, have a family? You think they'd be wanting to tear America down if they had that kind of future?
Yeah.
So we've let our kids down, and we have to restructure things so that kids have a chance. They can make money. They can pay a mortgage. They can buy a house.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the Antifa ethic is just going to take over.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're hopeful that this administration is going to be the ones to push back on all of this. They seem to have a plan laid out right now. So we'll sit back and watch. Trevor Louden, thank you for all the incredible work you do. We love it. We follow it. You're one of my favorite follows these days. And I'm glad Amy Mech introduced me to your work. You're doing an incredible job. So thank you so much.
Look, a pleasure, Brianna, and a big shout out to the audience. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much, folks. We've got a lot happening in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. A lot to unpack.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you can have me go, baka chaka woom bok, quack, quack, kong, whatever it is. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga baka woom kong kong. That'd be really good.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We're excited that you guys are all joining us today. Like I've told you, there's a lot to unpack and there's a lot to celebrate these days. And we're going to dive into that. But first, before we talk about celebrations, we're going to talk about big news here at InfoWars. The AlexJonesStore.com has just launched the Ultimate Creatine Powder right now. It is for VIP members only. Now, this is a good one, folks. Creatine is something that most people don't even, I think women don't even know that they need. So this one is really exciting. If you head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com, if you're a VIP member, you get to be one of the first to indulge and try this out. Go over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. Ultimate Creatine, when you sign up as a VIP for $30 and you got to use your $40 store credit to secure the supplies that you guys are going to want to need to have explosive workouts. I'm telling you, this is a really, really good one. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Grab yourself some Ultimate Creatine. It is for VIP club members only. So definitely go and grab that. I'm telling you, this is one of those things you're going to need if you're like myself and you work out quite often. So head on over to the store right now. Support our work when you do, because we greatly appreciate when you do. You guys are the reason why we're able to stay on air and stay in this fight. Now, I know earlier on the show, I did tell you guys that Alex was coming into the studio, but he's got some meetings with attorneys because, as many of you guys know, the lawfare war is still ongoing and Alex is fighting that aggressively. And again, he's only able to do that because you guys support us over at thealexjonesstore.com. But we have some really good news. And this news comes to us thanks to the incredible work of Ed Martin. Ed Martin has just recently sent over a letter to demand some answers. Ed Martin, in case you didn't know, is the one running the weaponization division over at the DOJ. He's also President Trump's pardon attorney. He's also the special prosecutor in regards to those who have allegedly committed mortgage fraud. He wears multiple hats. He's a very busy man. But he took some time to investigate what might be actually happening to Alex, what Alex has been telling you for a very long time now. Alex has been telling you that there was a very strategic effort to go after him to shut down InfoWars. And now Ed Martin is looking into all of this. One of the top prosecutors right now over at the DOJ. Folks, Alex broke this report yesterday. We're going to let him detail it for you, but he is very excited about this because, again, this holds those within the FBI accountable for what they did. Now, again, Ed Martin sending over a letter. In that letter, which was sent to an attorney for an FBI agent, was the first to respond to the shooting of Sandy Hook, suggesting he could potentially be criminally investigating them. Now, Alex, again, yesterday broke down this report. It's explosive. Let's take a listen.
So I got a bunch of information yesterday, and it was, and he's never said, don't say who it's coming from. Because I get it from other people, too. I just like to leave it and say DOJ sources because they'll then conflate what I got from one person, another, and then the FBI, and then from him. But he said, no, go ahead and tell people. And I was like, well, this is all massive exclusives. And he just said, you know, go ahead. We're longtime friends. Go ahead. But then, obviously, I don't record these conversations. He didn't even ask me if I was. But I said, I'm writing notes. I wrote about 15 pages of notes in our 45-minute or hour-long conversation. And it was just, that was yesterday afternoon, and I shot a little quick video right after I talked to him. And I sat there last night, and I sat this morning with the notes, and I went and looked at the things, and I knew some of it, you know, at least part of the backstory. And it was just like everything he told me, and everything he's ever told me, you know, was true and accurate before, was so bombshell. Like each little piece was so huge. And I was sitting there before the broadcast looking at all these notes and going, I mean, one of these would be like a huge Fox News story or a, you know, New York Times story. And obviously, if I had the journalistic muscle, because I know it's all true from the source it's coming from, but to even go out and like expand on it, it's just unbelievable. So it's like a pygmy trying to eat an elephant. And I got my other sources at different levels, and I can take their info, not even knowing I'm talking to these people. And you get a very clear picture. Plus, I do my own research, obviously. And as Yoda says, my own counsel I will keep. But it was Ed Martin, the head of Trump's big government weaponization task force, the government anti-weaponization task force, going after the weaponization of government, and also the big pardon lawyer, and so much more do they fear so much, the deep state. And it was just an amazing talk. And obviously I could have had Ed on before. He's been on the show many times years ago, known him 25 years. All the work he's done in public eye and behind the public eye, fighting the globalists, heading up some of the most important organizations in the world and the fight against them, like the Eagle Forum and others. But I just, it becomes a political distraction because I wanted to make sure he got appointed as U.S. Attorney in D.C. But then blocking that just made Trump make him this big omnibus, you know, roving field marshal with authority all over the country. And so he just, it was amazing. And I kept saying, is this on record? Is that off record? Is this on record? Is that off record? So, I mean, I could take of like the 30 things he told me. They're all gigantic. I can just take one of these tonight, maybe. I mean, I'm not going to wait on this stuff. It's just like, this is wild, okay? Believe me. And a lot of it's really good news. And some of it is what you already thought was going on, but just confirmed. It is Sunday, August 24th, 2025. I am your embattled host with my intrepid crew, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, transmitting worldwide. And we are fighting the globalists under blood red skies. All right. The quickening is here. It's intensifying with every day, with every week, with every month. And even the most informed and involved and engaged of us tend to get punch drunk and tend to create a normalcy bias of the war we're in. And the fact that there is not more urgency is a big problem. Yeah, we have way more urgency than the satanic left, those that have fallen to Satan's spell. But we have to understand that we've only won some major battles. We've not won the war. And yes, we have the initiative. So, look, we got a full plate here tonight on this live Sunday, August 24th, 2025 transmission. But I talked for about 45 minutes last night to Trump's head task force, strike force lawyer, Ed Martin. And when you ask who's heading up the strike forces, he's the only person they admit is heading up one. And I have the inside baseball on that. And also the state of the war we're in, the state of who understands it's urgent, who doesn't. The grand jury's open all over the country. And specifically, what districts, what's going on, what's happening. A bunch of this, he has full discretion, by the way, for the president to say whatever he wants. He decided to tell me. And I wrote about 15 pages of notes. And normally any other talk show's reporter would get one of these things, and it would take them 4 or 5 days to digest it and figure out how they're going to present it, you know, to make sure you get it right. I mean, it's all just insane, okay? And then what's going on inside the DOJ to try to block prosecutions? Trump, you know, and his understanding of how serious things are, what they really found on Jack Smith that is just exactly what you would expect from the former head of the UN tribunal prosecutor. And then what Tulsi Gabbard has found that is way, way, way worse than the already over the top treason that's been released. On and on and on and on and on. It's like the police get a call and they're told, you know, I saw the neighbor at midnight with take a dead body out of their car and bring it in the house. Are you sure it was a dead body? Yeah. So they get a search warrant. They go, and there's not one dead body in the house. There's like 200 buried in the backyard. Okay. So, I mean, and as soon as they, that's an analogy. As soon as they start indicting these people, if you think you've seen whistleblowers in the house of cards falling, it's going to go into free fall. So I'm not holding up the information I'm going to bring out and talk about. I've already given you some big basic statements there. They're all true. But I'm still digesting all of this. And I have other sources as well, a lot of other sources. I've got different pieces of it. But, I mean, I've known Ed 25 years, and you know, he's one of the most stalwart, trustworthy people. Everybody knows that. So the president trusts him so much. So he doesn't just, you know, say things that are half-baked or aren't true. And he told me a lot of very, very scary stuff, too. So, but we were simpatico on strategy and things like that. And obviously, stuff that's been done to InfoWars. And I'll just leave it at that, but I will be having to go back up to DC soon. Probably next week. Not this week, but next week. My dad's having open heart surgery on Wednesday, so I'll be here for that. But, So I'm still thinking about out of the 30-plus things he told me, about 20 of them are over-the-top bombshell important. They're all the rest of you, all of them are huge. I'm really trying to process it in my mind and then decide which few I want to hit today, but I need to get all this out as soon as possible But then on each point, he would give me examples and things to look at. So, I mean, a normal person that just doesn't do this full time, it would take him a day just to pull up and just document that already everything he's telling me is basically hiding in plain view. So I'm not getting to this right away to build this up. It's the opposite. I'm like, we've killed the cow. Now we've got to cut it up into pieces and cook it. So it's a lot to process. It'd be like asking the cops when they finally raid a house and found 100 dead bodies buried in the backyard. Well, come on, give us a press conference. They've only been there for 2 hours. And they're like, we're digging up bodies everywhere. They're like their kids. We don't. This is the guy we've arrested. I mean, what am I supposed to? That's the thing about actually fighting evil is it's there's so much of it, and it's so crazy that even like describing it as a giant job. Much less processing it and dealing with it, and it's just. I mean, I thought I was overwhelmed on air 25, 30 years ago with the amount of news coming out then. That was nothing, and I see talk show hosts every day that I like. Oh, today's a slow news day. What planet are you living on? And then there's a whole other area to this. There's the people that are so pissed that we haven't seen the arrest of the deep state. And they're not all in prison. They're not all at Gitmo. It's not Trump's fault and my fault and Martin's fault that you guys believed all that Q stuff that Hillary was really at Gitmo 8 years ago and executed. We didn't say that. I told you it wasn't true. Now I'm telling you, they're making a run at these people. And they have full intentions of indicting their ass 7 ways to Sunday. And they got them. They've got them. They've got them. They've got them. They've got them. They're in all of it. Because you know... They don't even need to go to the FISA court and all that stuff because it's already in all the databases that the Democrats had scooped out to spy on everybody. They're the ones that did the illegal spying. So now the Office of National Intelligence that's over all those agencies or misconduct in its misconduct investigations has all the illegal stuff they were trying to dig up on Patriots. And of course, there's nothing there incriminating or bad. But it's all crimes they committed. And then you've seen the headlines everywhere, like half the Democrats in Congress never pay income taxes. Well, that's a felony. You can say it's unconstitutional, all that. I get it. The point is that Al Capone finally go to prison. Oh, yeah. And that's a very good strategy. They're going to get him any way they can. And they got their ass on income tax evasion. I mean, flagrantly. Not just not paying, filing fake tax returns. Perjury. Now, I'm just rattling off a little bit here. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But that's nothing what I've told you. That's nothing what they discovered. I mean, obviously, out of all of this, the fact that they've got grand juries open... And I looked this up last night. This is only known in one case. And the corporate media could have found this out. They don't want to because they don't want you to know how real this is. They got grand juries open in Virginia, Missouri, New York, and a bunch of other states. And I don't just mean one per state. And if you look at where their jurisdictions are, like the district there in Virginia that's over the NSA and CIA? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the issues are, this stuff is so classified and so bad, they're having to go through and getting the president ready to just declassify stuff so they're even able to prosecute people with this stuff. And we're talking people working 18 hours a day. So, this isn't like you're a dog, you're walking through the desert, and there's not a, you know, any water or any meat around. You're basically a dog next to a giant butcher shop with a door open with 1,000 sides of beef hanging down on hooks and just T-bone steaks all over the floor and hamburger meat everywhere next to Niagara Falls. And so when you go into a big racketeering thing or an espionage deal, there's a lot of delicacies and rules to it that are designed like that because it takes years. They don't have that luxury. So I can tell you that there's process crimes all over the place in this. So when you see people indicted for process crimes, that's not because they're limiting it. That's to get them in the bear trap and then to get them to roll over, which they're already doing. Oh, and Ed's been on the news, you know, months ago saying he's got record level whistleblowers coming to him, like the auto pen people. But now it's a full-time job, just the whistleblowers. Hundreds and hundreds a week, many of them high level, with billions stolen here, billions stolen there. Knowing, thinking, oh, there is a new sheriff in town. We better go get ahead of this. Can you imagine when they actually start indicting the kingpins? There's been hundreds and hundreds of indictments of mid-level and stuff. It just doesn't hit the news. USA, the EPA scammers and NGOs and leftist law firms, you know, immigration law firms that are really human smuggling. And mayors and sheriffs and judges involved in it. I mean, they're doing it. And I can tell you the mayor of Chicago's got a big old bullseye on his commie ass saying rise up and attack the ICE when they're up there in Chicago. So the big news is they are going for it. But this is a free country with due process. They don't own these grand juries. These grand juries don't, you know, they can just keep asking for info forever. Who knows what they'll indict on? They just want to, you know, and that's our system, and that's fine. We want some due process. Because they already had at least 8 grand juries open on me under Biden, and they say that's a record number to not get indicted. Well, I didn't do anything, so. But by the grace of God, they presented stuff, and they said no. Well, once I was, the Washington Post reported, and I confirmed it was true, I was indicted in D.C. for Jan 6, but then Merrick Garland killed it, saying it's too obvious. He bullhorned saying don't go in. That's a little too much. So he killed that, so I guess I was indicted. But the attorney general can kill that. So, but in my case, in Trump's case, in Roger Stone's case, General Flynn, we didn't do anything. In the case of these people, it is ridiculous. So we've got that going on. And then what Jack Smith was planning, and I said to Martin, I said, I can talk about this. He said, yeah, there's only a few things. He said, we're off record. And I was like, wow. And he said, you got to look into this. You got to look into that. Look at this. Look at that. So I've got like, when I say 15 pages, I mean 15 pages filled with the main thing and notes, and I'm writing super fast. So, I mean, I could spend a week with that damn notebook and not even get all the stuff together. I'm going to stay up late tonight at the computer. I'll send the crew all the documents and stuff because, you know, me, I like to not just say what Ed Martin told me, which is the head task force, you know, lawyer, giving power all over the country. I mean, that's direct Alex Jones him. That's, you know. The New York Times says unnamed sources and makes up a bunch of crap. No, this is Alex Jones. Talk to Ed Martin. But I just want to pull up the exhibits because I always like to do that. Yep, Jack Smith, Trump's longtime tormentor, is under criminal investigation by the DOJ. Faces fresh danger of the president he sought to jail. Wait till you hear what Jack Smith set up.
Folks, I want to roll it back for a second because, I mean, what Alex just outlined is insane. Folks, the fact, multiple grand jury indictments against Alex, the lawfare, just kind of walking yourselves through the lawfare that was used to go after Alex Jones and still being used right now is insane. It's un-American, it's treason. Everyone involved belongs in prison. Now, I know a lot of you at home are like, Brianna, probably won't end up with criminal charges. Listen, Ed Martin, I know Ed Martin personally, great human being, great person, truly believes in this fight. If you got Ed Martin on your team, you're good. This man is dedicated to going after all these people who have destroyed this country over the last few years, and he's got his plate full. You know, I'm constantly hearing so many great things that Ed Martin's working on. I've had him on my podcast before. He understands the lawfare. He understands the victims of the lawfare. And that man is going out there and he's fighting for the American people constantly. You know, when I had him on my show, he detailed, I simply asked him, you know, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, it was a fake plot. We all know it. The FBI play more of a role in trying to kidnap Governor Whitmer than these individuals who have been prosecuted repeatedly played. Since he's the president's pardon attorney, we've got two of them that are federally charged sitting right now in prison. What's going on with that? And Martin said, we're looking at it. And it made national news. Of course, the mainstream media leaving out the parts of the FBI were the ones to plan everything out. But again, Ed Martin is the person you want on your team. Ed Martin is a fighter. Alex just telling you that there's multiple grand juries all across the country right now, outlining Virginia, Missouri, New York, and other places. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. So many people need to be prosecuted in this country for what they've done. Again, if we don't prosecute them, what's going to happen? Well, the next administration that walks right in, if it's a Democrat, it's going to happen again. Now is the time to set the message straight. You can't go after journalists. He sure as heck cannot manipulate our laws to go after your political opponents. All involved belong in prison. Folks, I want to remind you over at thealexjonesstore.com, we have an incredible sale going on right now. I know yesterday I was bragging to you all about it, but you got to do it if you haven't done it already because it's the limited time fall super sale. 70% off the Atomic Defense with the Methylene Blue purchase, which is so, so important. You know, we talk about it all the time, brain fog. Methylene Blue is probably one of the best things you could use to combat brain fog. And I know many of us struggle with that, myself included. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Indulge in this great sale that is for a limited time. And when you support thealexjonesstore.com, keep in mind, that's what keeps us in this lawfare fight. So head on over there right now and support our work, thealexjonesstore.com. We've got plenty more details coming your way about that shooting in Dallas. Wid Lyman is bringing us the very latest in just a moment.
Fentanyl, the dragon left China and flew to hang out with Alex and try something new. He landed in Texas, they barbecued steaks, and after they ate, they cleaned the dishes and plates. Alex jumped on his back and they flew to the store to get some supplements that you can't ignore. He got Ultimate Life Force and Methylene Blue, then he paid with a war bond that was crispy and new.
Defense, your ultimate shield against the daily onslaught of toxins and globalist schemes. Stay alive and survive.
The dragon attacks from skies above, but Alex holds magic inside of his glove. He mixes the potion with a force that's true. It's the ultra.
Scour of a sword, defeating the
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're very excited that you are all here as we enter our third hour of the program. A lot going on all around the country, and we're very excited to be breaking that down for you today. So thank you for tuning in. We've continuously covered what's going on right now in Dallas, and we'll bring you an update again in just a few moments, because Whit Lyman over at Border Hawk has been following this story. Apparently, there was a shooting outside of a Dallas ICE facility, multiple fatalities, multiple injuries. He knows the very latest, so he will be bringing that to us in just a few moments. Plus, I'll be joined also by Miss Mel Kay in the third hour of the show. Now, as many of you guys know, President Trump spoke yesterday at the UN, and he put the globalists on warning, but he had no problem also calling out the mass migration, which has completely destroyed Europe. So he sat there, he went through the statistics, and he called it out. I mean, at what point do you protect your people and you stop what they're doing? What they're doing is suicide for Europe. And we all know why they're doing it. But Mel Kay is going to break all of it down for us again, because she's the one who's digging through all the archives, figuring it all out. I love hearing her takes on things, because, folks, in case you didn't know, Mel Kay actually will find government documents, save them, archive them, and then give it to you for free. Now, there are so many times that the government slips up and puts something on the internet that then when they find out that they shouldn't have put it up there, they yank it down. But Mel Kay has her stash, and she makes it public record. She goes through all these documents. She finds all these hidden gems. And I know, you know, Alex does such a great job at that as well. But you really just have to go through what the government puts out there, because they put out a lot of information, and they don't even realize what they're telling you. Mel does a great job at that. So we're excited to have her on the program today. We'll also be taking calls from you in the second half of the hour. So if there's something that you'd like to call about, we'll give you the number in just a few moments. Not quite yet, though, but we're looking forward to hearing from you. And again, you know, we kicked off this show going over a lot of the breaking news, specifically in Dallas. But also, I mean, we need to keep highlighting this, because the mainstream media is not going to tell you about it. John Bolton apparently had classified documents in his possession. Now, obviously, that information was released yesterday. Reports did come out late yesterday evening, but ultimately, they say the FBI says that they found classified documents at his D.C. office. The court filings show that the documents included material about weapons of mass destruction, the UN, and U.S. strategic communications. According to the FBI's inventory list, these folders were labeled confidential, some pages marked secret, but it doesn't say how the classified documents were located. Now, again, may I remind you, Bolton was called out by a judge after he was sued after leaving the Trump administration. He was sued because apparently they believed that he was putting out too much information that was crossing the line. Even a judge had to call him out on it. Now, a lot of people involved in that case thought that he may have taken classified documents with him. So, again, we're still looking, we're still watching how this all unravels. But the DOJ is going after him for espionage and keeping classified documents without authorization. It's not just that, folks, too. There was another story we covered earlier today. And in case you missed it, this is a big one. Peter Strzok. Now, as many of you guys know, Peter Strzok, not a fan of President Trump, but he just had his lawsuit dismissed. He filed a lawsuit claiming that his firing was illegal and violated his rights to free speech and his privacy rights. But even an Obama-appointed judge said, no, there's nothing here, and just dismissed the case. So that's another reason what we're celebrating on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We've got a lot to unpack, of course. Like I mentioned, we've got Whit Lyman joining us in just a few moments. Plus, we're also going to have Mel Kay in just a few moments as well. So do not go anywhere. Keep at it. We've got a lot to tell you about in just a few moments.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
The American Journal. I'm excited that you are all with me today. We've been discussing a lot. There's a lot going on in the world. But most importantly, there is an incident that we've been following throughout the show in Dallas. Now, the very latest in regards to this, it's trickling out the information, but we were made aware around 7 a.m. Central Time that there was a shooting outside of an ICE facility in Dallas with multiple fatalities, multiple injuries. Joining me now to bring us the very latest on that front, because a lot has been developing over the hour, is Whit Lyman. He's the White House senior correspondent for BorderHawk.news, and he's with us today outside of the White House. Whit, thank you for being here. I'm excited to have you on the show today. I know we've got a lot to discuss, but I wanted to kick things off by discussing what happened outside of that Dallas ICE facility. What's the very latest?
Brianna, thank you for having me this morning. You know, this is a developing story and details coming out, as you know, and your audience knows they're fast moving. But we know at 6:40 this morning, a lone gunman from an elevated rooftop fired into an ICE detention facility. This is the Dallas field office where people are being taken to be detained and then from there being sent to another facility. So this is sort of like a midway facility. And we know that in their secure area, their secured, I'm not going to say covered, but secure processing site, at least three people have been shot with fatalities confirmed. This is by Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin. She is saying that three of the people that have died are detainees. She also hinted at multiple other injuries and issues coming down the pipeline. Again, a lot of this is very breaking and coming through. She also said that this is the same facility that had a bomb threat about a month ago. And as you know, ICE facilities and Border Patrol stations across Texas have had issues since July. So we're seeing ongoing violence towards facilities. And in this situation, we're seeing detainees actually being shot. The shooter himself or herself took their own life, and we are unknown at this time as far as a motive for what has happened.
Yeah, and we're still trying to unpack all the information, so we appreciate that update on that front because, again, I mean, this facility has had a lot of issues, and it's a lot of facilities across the state of Texas, and so it's going to be interesting to see how that develops and whether these individuals who are sadly now killed, I mean, whether they were targeted or not. We'll continue to follow that story and break those reports. But I wanted to shift gears a bit because obviously you being the White House correspondent, you are in the press briefings. And just the other day, you asked the White House press secretary a very important question. And we wanted our audience to listen in on this one. So take a listen.
Sure. Thank you, Caroline. Whit Lyman, BorderHawk News. The admin has openly discussed taking legal action against officials in sanctuary jurisdictions. Just this last weekend, we saw Mayor of Evanston, Daniel Bliss, rioting and protesting outside of an ICE facility near Chicago. Are there plans to start arresting sanctuary mayors or governors going forward?
Unless they commit a crime, I don't see them being arrested. But if they are violating federal law, if they are violating state law, then of course they should be arrested by state and local law enforcement. If they're violating federal law, then they can expect the consequences of that behavior.
Okay, so that's what we want to hear, right? We want to hear that there's potentially going to be criminal charges if they break the law. But there's been very little movement on that front. Kind of break it down for our audience what you were first discussing and what you are now hearing in regards to all of this.
So this question is dating back to about a year when incoming border czar Tom Homan talked about going after sanctuary jurisdictions and lawmakers if they were to break the law in some capacity, or if they had broken the law by being a sanctuary for illegal aliens, specifically criminal illegal aliens. In July of this year, we had multiple conversations about this. I mean, President Trump himself posted a meme, an Abraham Lincoln meme, asking if he should be arresting sanctuary governors and mayors. In January, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt answered a similar question to this, and she said that they need to be paying close attention to what they're doing, and perhaps if they aren't following the law and helping immigration enforcement, that they are indeed breaking it. And I could go on and on here. Multiple comments. We had a letter that was sent out to 30 jurisdictions by Attorney General Bondi warning them that they needed to get in line with federal immigration laws going forwards. And then just this last weekend, your audience has seen this, but at the Chicago ICE facility just outside in Broadview, we saw the mayor of Evanston, which is north of Broadview and Chicago, Daniel Biss, a Democrat, former state senator there in Illinois, protesting, rioting, obstructing himself. I mean, he was tear gassed. He was pushed out of the way by law enforcement. He's arm in arm with other protesters. And our question is just, you know, you've been talking about this for the better part of a year. You've been warning sanctuary jurisdictions, governors and mayors. You know, we have video documentation, and Mayor Biss actually commented on the video. He said, yeah, that's me. I'm doing this. And it's obvious. It's in the forefront. And our question, again, is what is the administration going to do about this? What's the federal government going to do about this, if anything?
Yeah. And we're constantly seeing this because, you know, it was just California this weekend. We had Gavin Newsom sign legislation that federal agents can't wear face mask coverings, which is funny, again, because if you understand how laws work in this country, they don't have to comply with the state law. But I reached out to DHS for comment on this because, again, I don't understand why we're even pretending or entertaining any of this and pretending like there's any legitimacy behind it. And I asked DHS, do they plan on complying? And thankfully, Trisha McLaughlin, like you cited earlier in the show, she said, no, we're not going to comply with any of this. So there seems to be some pushback from DHS, but I would love to see more prosecutions of Democrats who are sitting here and preventing these federal agents from doing their job. Whit, you're doing an incredible job at the White House covering everything related to the border issues. So thank you for joining us today. Folks, give them a follow on X. Everything that's going on right now in the White House, you're covering it. You're there. Wid underscore Lyman. Give him a follow on X. Thank you, Wid. We appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you as well, my friend. Folks, I wanted to remind you all at the Alex Jones store right now, we have an incredible sale going on. 70% off the Atomic Defense and Methylene Blue purchases that you guys are going to make. Let me tell you, it's a limited time because it is the fall super sale. So you're going to want to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to stock up on this. This is a great set. You're going to love buying this. I'm telling you, I'm a big fan of the methylene blue. I take one of those tablets each and every single day before I come on this show. That definitely helps with brain fog. And especially because it's a morning show as well. And you're going to love the Atomic Defense. I'm telling you all, CMOS was a game changer, and it's included in that as well. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Now is the time. Indulge. Get this going. The alexjonesstore.com, when you guys support them, you're supporting us, and we greatly appreciate it. Folks, we're going to be joined by Mel Kay in just a few seconds. I wanted to talk to you about what happened yesterday, though, at the UN. President Trump had no problem going straight to the globalists' face and calling them out on all of their nonsense, but most importantly, calling out the crisis in regards to mass migration. And my favorite part was when he sat there yesterday, and we're going to hear it in clip 9, but he called out all the European countries who have allowed their prisons to be pretty much just kind of pouring in these foreigners into their prisons. Because the reality of it is their prisons are filled with not natives, but foreigners. And for some reason, leadership over in Europe won't call out what's actually happening here. But President Trump will. Take a listen.
According to the Council of Europe in 2024, almost 50% of inmates in German prisons were foreign nationals or migrants. In Austria, the number was 53% of the people in prisons were from places that weren't from where they are now. In Greece, the number was 54%. And in Switzerland, beautiful Switzerland, 72% of the people in prisons are from outside of Switzerland. When your prisons are filled with so-called asylum seekers who repaid kindness, and that's what they did, they repaid kindness with crime, It's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now.
See? It was that simple. Call it out. But unfortunately, those in positions of power refuse to do just that. Everyone's too afraid to call out the problem here. The problem are the foreigners that they've imported. But it's all intentional. It's all strategic. What we're seeing throughout Europe, the UK, for example, has been completely transformed. And beautiful cities, cities that were once beautiful, like London, have been combating this issue of this Islamic takeover. Now, President Trump, again, having no issue calling out the city's mayor in clip 10.
Look at London, where you have a terrible mayor, terrible, terrible mayor. And it's been so changed, so changed. Now they want to go to Sharia law. But you're in a different country. You can't do that.
It's just that simple. Joining me now to discuss is Mel Kay. She's host of The Mel Kay Show, and she's also the author of Americans Anonymous, and she is with us today. Mel, it's good to have you on the program. I know a lot of us were very excited to hear President Trump speak yesterday at the UN, but he had no problem calling out the mass migration crisis throughout Europe. Your reaction to those remarks?
Well, he knows the bigger picture, and that's what I've told everyone all along for all these years, is that the biggest fraud on our country basically in the last, you know, 100 years to me is the United Nations, the whole origin of the United Nations, everything that goes on there. And he knows that this is a strategic plan. They're all in on Agenda 2030. They're all in on continuing down the path. And don't forget, these globalists that really run it, I call them the international banking cartel and the global public-private partnership, they're the ones that are creating all the chaos. They're the ones that are paying for both sides of everything, all the wars, all the color revolutions, all of that. And why are they doing that? So that we don't look at them. And it's about time that we start not only looking at them, but also learning the history of exactly how the UN and all of its tentacles and the banks and everything got so much power over our nations, because this is not new. And as I've told you before, you can go back to the 90s and find George Soros wrote his NATO World Order. You can go back to Brzezinski and Kissinger and Rockefeller. We were set up for World War III, and they're going forward because after every war, as Smedley Butler said, all wars are bankers' wars, then they consolidate further. So they keep going down this path of destruction of the West so that we are so decimated, so unable to stand up and speak up and say, no, we like our sovereignty, we're keeping our sovereignty, and we have nothing to do with global governance. But again, as I've told you many times, there's an executive order 9698 that was passed by Truman, which most people don't know about. It's the International Organization Immunity Act, which Donald Trump should rescind. It is an executive order that created this monster, and all of these people have been immune all these years. So he's calling their bluff for the huge money laundering operation to trillions and trillions of dollars that have been stolen by from the taxpayers of the United States and sent through USAID and other groups to the World Bank and the IMF, all in the name of global, you know, global climate, global this, global that. It is a consolidation of everything they ever wanted. The UN was always about, as George H.W. Bush told us, a new world order led by the United Nations, and they all signed on. Both Bushes, Obama, Clinton, all of them signed on, trillions invested, and now Donald Trump's saying, the gig is up. We're not going forward with your plot and your plan. It didn't work. The UN failed. We'll find a better way forward. And I think a lot of people, not just in America, have been waiting for this for decades.
Yeah. Yeah, they have been waiting this for decades. And it's pretty incredible to sit back and watch President Trump as he pushes back in person to all of these people who are trying to destroy us. And you know, I also want to remind our audience too, I know I said it earlier in the program, but we're taking your calls in the next portion of the hour. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539, especially if you want to sound off on this topic, because I would love to talk to you all about that. But Mel, I want to get back to the point of the UN in regards to all of this. You know, President Trump, they don't like him. We saw yesterday they made multiple attempts to try to stop him with the escalator stopping as soon as Melania gets onto it, with the attempts to kind of yank his teleprompter. There's the meme joking around saying that, you know, Melania Trump saying, oh, you thought you crushed his teleprompter, you turned it off. Well, now you're going to get an hour-long lecture of the globalists who are trying to destroy our world. Joke's on you. But President Trump, no matter what they try to do to him, he seems to be bouncing back from all of this, and he doesn't even let it faze him, even calling them out straight to their face and saying, if you're running the prompter or you're the one who ran the escalator, you're in trouble right now. What does it tell you when you sit here and you see these attempts to silence him at the UN?
Well, we have to remember what he is fighting really is an international financial new world order that was started, and he is dislodging the tentacles that have undermined our sovereignty since the Federal Reserve all the way through. What I'm saying is that this is a $1 trillion disaster for the globalists, that Donald Trump is not going down the path with them towards World War III. He's not going down the path with them to continue the climate fraud. He's not going to go and launder more money around the world that only helps these global public-private partners that seem to think that they run the world like a parent company. And he's coming in as the boss, and he's saying, you never thought I'd be back, but I am, and I'm going to take care of it. And frankly, when I think about this and I think about the UN and all the tentacles around them, which includes, you know, all of the NGOs, world NGOs that are behind color revolutions and USAID and our very corrupt State Department. If you really look back and you look at when the UN started and the Dulles brothers and what was going on in Switzerland and the city of London and Wall Street, those people are the ones that actually run all of this, and he is threatening them. So I'm not surprised, though I do really want to understand what happened yesterday on that escalator. I've been on that escalator. He was literally a sitting duck right there when that stopped and he walked up, and that should never have happened. But frankly, he is destroying a 100-year plan to consolidate the world into this global governance model of Agenda 2030, and he's telling, I'm sorry, all your trillions of dollars and you're you know, betting on all of humanity to just bow to this United Nations that is really a front group for everything else that's above them. You know, I understand that they don't like him, but you know what? National sovereignty was something that the United States of America was supposed to be all about. As you know, I've talked to you many times about it. George Washington's farewell address, which everyone should read, basically said that the whole point of the United States was to keep foreign governments and influence out of our country and to stay out of other countries' influence and their internal politics. This all went upside down when the war for profit model started at World War I, and they really were planning, again, the same kind of model, if you look at history, to do this again right now. And Donald Trump got in the way in 2016. They jumped back in to go straight ahead to the, because it's all about reconstruction with these people that pay for both sides of the war. Even in Ukraine, even in Israel, this is about reconstruction by the people that run the world, and the UN is one of their tentacles, and frankly, it's over. And the financial system that runs behind it, that has been laundering and looting all of our money to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, is losing power. And if you think about it that way, you understand that our enemy is very dangerous, and Donald Trump knows it, and he's done. He's just calling him out. We are not a global government. We are not a global governance model. We are the United States of America. We are sovereign. We have a constitution and a bill of rights and borders, and we are going to enforce them and put our country back in a place where it can thrive. Because everything about this is, as I always said, Donald Trump would say, they're not after me, they're after you, and I'm in the way. The truth was, they're not after America. They're after the world. And America, particularly our constitution, our bill of rights, and our DNA is in the way. And he's just calling them out right to their face with straight facts. And I'm so happy about this.
Yeah, no, it was great to sit back and watch yesterday. And I don't think he got the rightful attention that it should have received, because he did an incredible job at doing just that. Mal, before you go, I wanted to get your reaction, because yesterday Chairman Jim Jordan released some information regarding Google and how Google is going to bring back some YouTube accounts that were once censored and banned regarding their COVID coverage. Now, I know you're someone who has been heavily censored by YouTube and others. So what was your reaction when you learned the news?
Well, my reaction is, first and foremost, I want people to pay for this. I want accountability. I was on there. I got banned for life in 2020 for having on Dr. Zelenko and talking about ivermectin and all of that. And my content was dangerous. My account wiped out, lost all monetization. We were growing everything. I appealed several times not to be allowed back on, though a lot of people were on there and got kicked off and came back. And frankly, I don't care about all the money and growth and all of that I lost, as much as I care about that the people within the government that betrayed with a conspiracy to silence we the people of the United States voices, particularly because what we were saying was true and would have saved lives. So at the end of the day, this can't just be, oh, we won, Google's going to let you back on YouTube. No. I want to know who from Google was dealing with who in the Biden administration that called for all of us to be kicked off. And, you know, Wojcicki, she's not with us anymore, but she went right on TV and said she took down 1 million videos and dozens and dozens of accounts. Well, you know what? Overnight, our money stopped, our growth stopped, and our voice was silenced, and we were actually trying to help people and would have. So I think accountability and some criminal charges within the government. I don't know if there's a mechanism because I'm not seeing it, but it's not enough. We need accountability. We need to have them publicly answer to those of us who are working our asses off to protect the people of this country with real information, and instead we're called dangerous, silenced, monetization gone overnight with no recourse. 5 years I've been banned for life from YouTube, and thank God for Rumble and some other platforms, or I would have had to give up, and I didn't want to, and I'm never going to, but I want some accountability, some criminal, you know, at least civil lawsuits, or let's just do a class action, everyone that got kicked off against them all, because this can't stop here with an, whoops, we're sorry, we'll give you back your channel. Give me all the money and all the growth that I would have had in the last 5 years back, and if you can't do that, well, then we should probably make sure that we can.
Yeah, Mel, I think it's really important, and I think it needs to be called out, because again and again, Americans were censored, you were censored, you were heavily targeted, and their efforts failed. I mean, that's the reality behind it, is they sat here and they thought that they were going to be able to silence the voices, but they only made you stronger. You know, Rumble then came about, other platforms, free speech platforms, Elon Musk purchasing X. I mean, we have now seen this all kind of backfire on them. And I'm very, very thankful for that. Mel, I want to thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. The Mel Kay Show is a must listen to. You're exposing all of these globalist hacks, these treasonous pigs, and we love to sit back and watch you do just that. So thank you for joining me again today, my friend. And the book is Americans Anonymous, folks. It's an incredible book. Definitely snag that at the Amazon shop. Thank you, folks. All right, guys. So we're going to go and we're going to remind you all that we're taking calls. Yes, we are. 1-877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We are taking calls in the next portion of the show. Folks, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Is there anything that you want to say based on what I've talked about on the show? Anything that you think I missed? Give us a call right now. Again, 877-789-2539. There's a lot to discuss. And we try to cover everything, mainly focus on the things the corporate media won't tell you about, of course. That's what we do here on the show. I also want to remind you all, it's been a crazy fight. It has been a crazy fight over at InfoWars. They have fought long and hard to stay on the air, and now they are reaping the benefits of all of this. Of course, we talked about Ed Martin, what Ed Martin's doing to help out. But the reality of it is you, the American people, have done a significant job at helping them out. But we still need you in this fight. You head over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. There are so many items available that will not only improve your health, but keep InfoWars on air. So head on over right now, the alexjonesstore.com, because today we are very excited to announce the launch of the Ultimate Creatine Powder. It is available for VIP members only. Unleash your peak performance with Ultimate Creatine Powder, now available on the alexjonesstore.com. This is an exclusive formula for VIP members only, and we know it's going to sell out fast, so you want to head on over there right now. Sign up as a VIP for $30 and use your $40 store credit to secure your supplies now. Folks, this is great. If you work out, this is what you want. Creatine helps your muscles. Obviously, it gives you relief. We all need that. I know yesterday was a rough arm day for me, so I will be making sure to take some creatine today. But head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and snag that. We're taking your calls in the next portion of the show. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. Can't wait to talk to you.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Excited that you guys are with us today. A lot going on in the world, and you know, we're excited to be in the third hour right now. We're taking your calls, so give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. And as many of you guys know, we've been following that story in Dallas. There was apparently a sniper who shot and killed multiple people. We're still waiting for the final counts, but we're being told that obviously this happened outside of an ICE facility in Dallas, Texas. And local law enforcement just recently gave us an update. Let's take a listen.
What I can also share with you is that early evidence that we've seen from rounds that were found near the suspected shooter contain messages that are anti-ICE in nature.
Anti-ICE in nature. Well, that's something, folks. I'm sure the mainstream media is not going to want to talk about this one. And how devastating to kill innocent people. Again, this looks to be politically motivated. If this is all true, There's a consistency here, folks. There's a consistency. We'll keep following this story as it develops, of course. The mainstream media will probably shy away from it, but we're not going to shy away from it. We're going to keep covering this. So definitely stay tuned. We'll bring you the very latest as the show goes on. But, folks, we're taking your calls, 877-789-2539. If there's something that you want to sound off about, well, now is the time to give us a ring. All right, I want to take the first call from John. John, welcome to the program. We're excited that you're here with us today. What is on your mind?
Hi, Brianna. What's on my mind is Jimmy Kimmel and his halfway apology last night. He even cried. I wanted to see what people were thinking about that and why aren't all those MAGA folks filing a class action lawsuit for defamation or libel or slander? I mean, what's the purpose of having those types of lawsuits if we're truly allowed to say anything we want? There would be no reason, right?
Yeah. Well, what were your thoughts about his apology?
You know what? If I only saw the snippet, I actually put myself through the whole 15, 20 minutes of that, which was over coffee this morning. If I only saw the snippet and I had my head in the sand, I would think, you know, this is a great guy and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you could tell he's been put up to this. I think, you know, this is like a Howard Stern stunt to me. Same thing happened with Howard, you know, ratings suck. So let's act like I'm being fired. And it was either that or it was Disney saying, hey, ratings suck. This is our chance to take him out. You know, with what's going on today and what came out about, you know, the YouTube videos and Google and all this stuff, it has to make sense in the same direction. It can't be like a splattergram with, you know, it only makes sense for this population or that population. We have to come together to say what is what if we are truly going to come together, if that's even possible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think it's interesting to see that the affiliates are no longer carrying. We saw Sinclair step away from carrying Jimmy Kimmel. Let's see if they could hold their word to it at this point. You know, these are the people who cheerleaded for cancel culture for far too long. And now that they're on the receiving end of it, they don't appear to be fans of it. But, you know, Jimmy Kimmel giving us that tearful apology, I think most Americans really just don't care for it anymore. We'll keep at it. We'll keep watching it. But again, these people infuriate me to the core, especially when the media is pretending like this was the Trump administration stepping in and trying to shut him down. I mean, we all know that wasn't the case. We're all very familiar with the fact that the left has done that over the years. So again, we'll keep watching. I'm sure we're not going to watch Jimmy Kimmel, but we're going to keep watching the story because, again, I think that there's more to this. And the defamation angle is interesting. I mean, again, they just sit there and think they could say lies and spew lies and get away with it. And when you call them out on it, they cry victim. So it's really interesting. Thank you for calling in today. We greatly appreciate it, John. I want to turn to another caller who thinks that President Trump's speech was good. Let's turn to Jay over in Alabama. Jay, thanks for calling the show today. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good to have you on. I'm good. I listened to the speech. I put it on. I was listening to it through Alex's synopsis, I guess, of it, but I put it on YouTube because I wanted to hear it, you know, and they were messing with the sound and all, but I loved it. I thought the speech was great, and I like them just kind of sticking it to them and letting them know, and listen, we ain't, you know, I'm the president. We're not taking it anymore. Enough of this nonsense. Yeah. And of course, I like all the supplements. I got all the methyl blue, and I got them all. But anyways, I'm a driver and I'm in Alabama today. And I used to call into Harrison in the morning sometimes. And I won't say Harrison's really good. I still listen to him. But looks wise, you're a better, much more pleasing to look at.
Yes. So, well, you,
that's really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure Harrison wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
He's very good.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're all really good. I mean, honestly, I was a frequent guest. And so it's fun to jump on the other side of all of this and learn. I mean, I talk about it, Jay, but like I was never supposed to be in front of the camera. I was always a producer. And so now we're kind of switching things up a little bit, and I like it. I do like it. It's interesting, and everyone here is really good on the team, and we're thankful that you support us and continue to support us, Jay, because honestly, we couldn't do it without that. I mean, the reality is they're coming for Alex. They're coming for InfoWars, and if he didn't have the great resources, which is you guys in the audience supporting, we wouldn't be able to stay in this fight. So we deeply do appreciate that, so thank you.
Have a great day.
You as well. Okay, we're going to bring on Michael in Canada. We have a Canadian on the line. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So, did you see the topic I was calling in about? About how they're coming in after all of us?
The gun confiscations.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're starting in Cape Breton yesterday.
In Canada?
Yeah. So, they're doing a kind of a test thing in Cape Breton, which is far east. It's way away from me because I'm Alberta. Like, Jesus Lord, Donald Trump, please annex Alberta.
I don't know if we want Canada. I might be the one American who's going to stand up against that. We like you, though. You can move here. We'll take you. I don't know.
I will scrub the toilet. At InfoWars. I'm not kidding.
I will scrub
the toilet. I will make that place clean and sheen and make it all nice. But this is just a starting point. When the other caller was talking about they're coming for all of us, they are.
Yeah. And Canada's been the first one in all of that. I mean, you guys know it better than anyone. I mean, this has been a long fight. Unfortunately, your government has, I would say, been captured. And they're not doing the will of Canadians. And so it's very unfortunate what's going on. President Trump, you know, trying to create some pressure on a lot of key issues. But again, the liberals have launched this gun confiscation. I was unaware of it. But I'm glad you brought it to our attention, Michael, because this is an important one. We all know what happens after they successfully confiscate the guns. And this is definitely something that you don't want. So we're with you on this fight, and I hope everything works out for you guys in Canada. If not, you could come, you know, move to America. We'll take you.
Can I come and scrub toilets? Bring for words.
That I can't commit to. But you're welcome to join and become a legal immigrant in the great country of America. I know you guys. I know we talk about it. We laugh about annexing Canada, but I'm afraid with how toxic the voting has been in Canada, that would only make things worse for us here. Us conservatives here in the United States are probably not going to be so welcoming on that front, but we appreciate it and we wish you all the best. And I'm going to look forward to kind of following that story because I was unaware and you guys, everyone needs to lay off, liberals especially. All right, I want to take the next caller. Let's bring in Tim about leaving the United Nations. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. You do a fantastic job. I don't miss Harrison. Yeah, you're solid. But Harrison's great on the afternoon anyway. Right now, we're all talking about one thing or another. Trump brought up the UN. It was a fantastic speech, not as good as his first one. But I hope he's serious. And if we have serious leadership, there should be no reason or excuse to be in the United Nations, especially since the president of the United States just called them out for committing an invasion. So we should literally leave. I mean, it should be. So I'd like to challenge all the social media right wingers to start building a grassroots movement and get us out of the United Nations. Let's start moving the needle that way. I mean, if we're going to take half measures, let's see how many half measures we can get to getting out of the United Nations.
Yeah,
it'd be fantastic if the politicians, because again, they're supposed to do our bidding, you know, to a certain extent, you know, but we need to create a bigger lobby than Israel or anywhere else. And just get ourselves out of the United Nations. I think that would solve a lot of our globalist problems.
Yeah.
Just that alone. And also, sorry, what was that? What was the bill that gave all of these people immunity?
I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
She went over it so fast. I mean, that, because I had a feeling that they all had diplomatic immunity or some sort of immunity, because there's no way you just commit open treason day in, day out.
Yeah.
You know, without some sort of protection.
Yeah.
You know, so I would like to know more about that. Maybe there's a possibility to get that, you know, repealed. or something that to counteract that. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, Mel Kay does a great job at all of that, breaking it all down. I mean, it was the executive order, I think it was, or I'm trying to remember what she exactly said. She's my fellow New Yorker. We speak really, really fast. Every now and then I have to remind myself to slow it down. But I'll find it out for Mel. But Mel is one of the best, so definitely give her a follow, because I'm sure she'll post it up there as well. I see that we have someone calling from Dallas. Jess, it looks like in Dallas, in regards to the ICE shooting. Jess, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brianna. Glad to be here. Thanks for taking my call.
First-time
caller here. And anyhow, just curious about what's going on with the ICE shooting. Some of the details that I'm hearing, and are very recent, is that they've recovered some bullet casings.
Yeah, yeah.
That have markings of hating on ICE. Mm-hmm. And then the people that have been shot are detainees, not ICE agents. So that, to me, is very curious. Why would they be shooting detainees?
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm still trying to make sense of this, because if it's somebody that's hating ICE agents, I would think that that's who they would be targeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the reports are still coming out, so I'll kind of like give you what we know from the reports. But we were made aware by local affiliates, I believe it was the Fox affiliate over there, that they were unloading a detainees from a van, an unmarked van, and then that's when this individual opened fire. Originally, it was described as multiple potential shooters and that there was a sniper, and you know, that's kind of evolved into the shooter then being found dead on a rooftop. They believe it's a self-inflicted wound. Chrissy Noem, the DHS secretary, coming out and confirming that this individual, we don't know if it's a male or female, but did take their life. We're also learning, again, multiple fatalities, multiple injuries. I believe the last number was two that they believe have been killed. We're still following it as it develops. This happened around 7 a.m. Central Time. So there's still more information trickling out about it. But again, and it was kind of strange because we were kind of like floating ideas as to what this is all about. Initially, when I heard it was the detainees that were shot, I thought maybe it's a cartel involved incident at that point. But now that you've got the angle of the bullets, which are being reported by the mainstream media right now, and here's an image on the screen, this tells you a lot. I mean, this tells you a lot. So we'll continue to follow, but we talk about it all the time. I mean, these political attacks are getting out of control in this country. We need to get a grip on it. Jess, thank you for joining me. I appreciate your call, of course. We're going to try to go down the list. I see so many callers calling in right now. I know Andrew in New Jersey has been waiting because he's got a lot to say about President Trump and RFK Jr. So welcome to the show, Andrew. What is on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to say I loved Trump's speech, too, and I was driving close to the United Nations while streaming it. And just quick on protesters, there was anti-communists from China, you know, against China and how different they were than Antifa or Black Lives Matter. They're these like sweet, meek Chinese people with their signs and their well manner. You know, they don't even chant. They just stand there peaceably. How different. But I want to say, even though I love Trump, he was the same guy that pushed Operation Warp Speed. And then he didn't have any remorse when he had the presser with RFK. He was actually still braggadocious, and they always use the term, and we know like the vaccines were ineffective and harmful, and they use the term warp speed from Star Trek, that yes, they could develop it faster because technology, you could collaborate with the other side of the world, live stream, but you can't time travel. Star Trek, they time travel in the one movie to get two humpback whales to save humanity. Instead of we save the whales save us, which sounds ridiculous, but it was actually a good movie, so we couldn't time travel. And now we have a few years, so we could see that they were ineffective and harmful. So I was very disappointed when Trump promoted Operation Warp Speed again.
Yeah.
Just your thoughts on that? Thanks.
Yeah. Obviously, as many people know, I lost my job over the vaccine mandates, and it's not actual loss, but this is one fight that I was willing to take on. My stomach turns a little bit when I hear him talking about Operation Warp Speed. I don't know why he continues to push it. I'm thankful he is, though, talking about childhood vaccines. But he still touts it as a victory. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just bad advisors around him. I don't know what it is, but I mean, his voters, I know I'm not alone, aren't excited. Whenever he says the name, we all just like kind of cringe a little bit on the inside. I don't know why. I don't know why. It sounds like he just isn't going to change his mind on that. He's going to continue to call it a victory. I know he's still kind of touting the vaccines. We'll continue to follow it though. Continue to report. I think they're doing great stuff though. HHS doing great things. RFK Jr., like you outlined, doing great things. And so, yeah. Yeah, I think it's really important. Thanks for calling in. We greatly appreciate it. I want to turn to Jen in Georgia. We're going to keep it on like the medical topic here. Cause Jen, you would like to talk about RFK as well, but you have a different angle to all of this. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Congratulations on your slot in the American Journal, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, what I was going to talk about, and it's not something I've been hearing anybody like, talking about at all, but as a person with experience myself, and now I'm seeing all of the new studies coming out, so it's a little concerning. But I think that RFK Jr. needs to address and pull birth control of all kinds off the shelves so that they can't be used anymore, and particularly the Depo-Provera injections are actually the ones that I used to take when I was a young STEM teenager. I was back in 2010, I was taking them, and I cannot tell you how bad those things destroyed my body. And and the methods in which they use to distribute those to like young females, they don't ask you for too much information for you to be able to get on them. Like, I had my boyfriend's mom take me. They didn't ask if she was a legal guardian. They were just willing to give it to me like it was nothing, yeah. You know, and now there's class action lawsuits in place nationwide about that particular one, because women are experiencing things like brain tumors and infertility and ovarian cancers. And I think the way that they just manipulate young girls, telling them, because the way it was sold to me is it'll balance out your hormones. And I'm not trying to, I don't want to be TMI here. I'm sorry to all the men who have to hear this.
It's okay.
But I will say, whenever I was taking them, I stopped having a menstrual cycle for like 2 years. And when I decided to take get off of them, it still took me over a year for me to even get back regular. I gained so much weight. My whole body always felt like it was falling apart and fatigue. And like I said, they don't ask you for too much information. You know, they just give it to you. If you walk in, you say, hey, can I get on birth control? And they'll just willingly do it. They don't ask the person taking you if they're a legal guardian. I mean, it's so deceptive, you know. So
yeah.
I think that's something that RFK Jr. needs to address, because that is a big problem.
Yeah.
And anytime I hear like friends of ours who has like teenage daughters who are saying that they want to go get on them, I'm always, my ears perk up. And I approach them immediately. I'm like, don't do it. Do not do it. You're going to ruin yourself. Don't do it.
Yeah.
So they're being sold one thing, and I've had experience myself. So
yeah. No, Jen, you're not alone. I mean, literally when I had acne, they told me to go on birth control, and that was their solution, was to get rid of acne. But they don't tell you the ramifications for all of that, what could possibly happen. So yeah, I do think that's really important. And I do think they need to tackle that. I mean, obviously we have a birth rate issue in this country, all across the world. And so, you know, that's something that President Trump seems to be interested in resolving as well. I know there's discussions of tax incentives for Americans to have more children. So this would be a front too to also get on, because we're always talking about how, you know, sadly, so many Americans are unable to have children. And a lot of this has to do with birth control. They have no idea what they're actually taking when you're a teenager. I mean, you have a doctor who says, oh, you want to get rid of your acne? Take some birth control. It'll help your hormones and you won't get acne. And you don't know the long-term effects of it. I mean, I think I gained like 30 pounds off of it. So yeah, it is a problem that needs to be addressed. And I'm glad you called about that, because we need to have conversations about these things, especially when it's conversations that could make people feel a little uncomfortable. I think it's welcomed. So thank you, Jen, for that. I want to turn to Frank in North Carolina. Frank, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. I hear you have a lot on your mind.
Hi, Brianna. Are you there?
I am here. Hello, Frank.
I'm doing okay. Listen, I'm from the great patron state of North Carolina.
We love it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm going to go slightly off topic here, and I'll try and be succinct as I can. This whole Charlie Kirk assassination stinks to high heaven. I think the guy that was on the roof that we saw jumping off the roof, I think he was the distraction. This whole George Zinn thing, I don't know. I've got a bad feeling about this. I think there's something we're not – well, I think there's a lot of things we're not being told. There was a reason they took him out. I don't know what the reason is. I know he did great work. I love the guy. He was fantastic. But there's something rotten in Denmark here. And we need some good, and I mean superior, investigative journalists to hack into this thing and really, really find out what's going on. Because none of it, and I mean none of it, makes any sense to me.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I've reached out to like Discord to figure out. I know the FBI says, or officials have been reporting that, there were a lot of aftermath conversations had on Discord. I know Discord originally put out a statement saying that there was no communications about the shooting on this platform. So I've reached out. I'm trying to reach out to figure out whether the messages we're seeing are legitimate, because we're not seeing the timestamps. I think that's definitely fair to call into question here. So there's a lot of different interesting factors in all of this that I don't, and listen, we have every right to be, questioning our government and what they tell us, because they have never been transparent in my entire lifetime. And so to sit here and ask simple questions, I think is fair. I know there's a lot of journalists who are digging into the subject matter, so I do trust them. The FBI putting out a statement, Director Kash Patel putting out a statement saying that they're going to dig into all of these theories. We'll see where that lands. I won't promise you anything, but. Again, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some things that I think are interesting and I think we need to dig into. So we'll continue to cover it, though. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, Charlie deserves for the American people to know exactly what happened to him. The absolute truth should be told. And so we look forward to continuing to cover that. And that's what he'd want. That's what he'd want. Thank you for calling into the show today, Frank. We appreciate it. I want to turn to Jefferson in Virginia, who has a lot to talk about regarding vaccines and Operation Warp Speed. Jefferson, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Good to talk to you.
We only have like 30 seconds, so I'll let you take it.
Trump will continue to tout Warp Speed as a good thing until Fauci goes to prison for lying about the safety studies that were faked. Yeah. They hijacked Warp Speed. Warp Speed was just supposed to make sure that the vaccines got paid for, even if they never went to market because they weren't safe. Mm-hmm. So he's going to keep saying Warp Speed was good, but the vaccines might be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that unravels. Fauci for prison is one movement I could actually support. That man belongs in a prison cell. I want to thank you for jumping on and calling. Thank you for everyone who called in today. I try my best to get to everyone. I really do. But we've got a lot of great callers on the line. So thank you again. Folks, I want to remind you today, you got to head over to the alexjonesstore.com. The ultimate creatine powder is on sale. It's launched for VIP members only. So become a VIP member. Support us. We appreciate it. And ultimate creatine powder is what you're going to want to indulge on, folks, especially if you're working out. This is great for your muscles. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. That does it for me today. Alex Jones is up next.
He tipped his hat, took a stroll through town. All the folks smiled back. Not a single frown came in hand. Boots tapping the street, whistling some ragtime, snappy and sweet.
But just up the block, what did he see? The Federal Reserve, oh golly gee. Bankers in top hats, puffing cigars, guarding their treasures like kings of czars.
With a swing and a sway, came a mighty call. Jones climbed high on the wrecking ball. Boom went the bricks, dust filled the air. Gold bars shining so bright you couldn't stare.
He packed that Model T full to the brim, stacked up high till the edges grew thin. Down Main Street he rolled, the people did cheer. Jones brought the gold, our hero is here.
So raise your hats, let the right time play. Alex Jones saved the town that very day.
From the banker's hands, the riches all returned, and the Federal Reserve, well, it crashed and burned.